Yes, director. So, welcome, colleagues. We will share. I'm going to share my screen for the concept note and agenda for this meeting, which will be chaired by Director Veda from AUC. And then we will proceed. We will start with opening remarks from the four institutions, and then we'll proceed with the agenda. So let me share my screen. Can you see the agenda?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay. So maybe director, over to you. Can you?
Yes, thank you very much, Krishna. I would like to check if the availability of our interpreters. Do we have interpretation? And isn't working for everybody? Krishna, can you check?
Yes, director. Yakuba has confirmed to me that there is the interpreters. One of them is here already. Is here.
So, yeah. Actually, he just informed that they are one is missing. I think one is coming. Currently, we have the one from English to French, but the French to English is trying to connect.
Okay.
So I don't know, on the bottom of your screen, if you can see an image of interpretation, from there you can select the language.
I cannot.
Actually, for me it's on the bottom, but I don't know for you where it should be.
It is there. Yes, I can see, but unfortunately, it couldn't translate what we are saying.
Okay. Actually, currently we have, I think, English to French, but the second interpreter is trying to connect. We were just informed that the second one is trying to connect.
So, can we check with the French speakers if they are getting French translation?
Oui, moi je l'écoute en français. Donc, si vous. Pour les francophones, si vous regardez un peu en bas, il y a interprétation. Vous pouvez sélectionner la langue que vous voulez écouter. Actuellement, l'interprétation se fait de l'anglais en français.
C'est bon, ça marche. So I think we can start. Ça marche. Ok, Krishna, can we start? So
yes, maybe I can. So
okay. What yes. I'm proposing is really to start your video when you speak, specifically for the first time.
Vous activez votre vidéo lorsque vous prenez la parole la première fois, afin qu'on puisse vous voir.
No. The problem is that we have exactly the same channel. We have interpretation also, or what?
Mr. Chairman, kindly ask the technician to assign me as English-French interpreter.
Please, Jamal, can you deal with
that? Because that was done before. I don't know what happened. It just got changed because initially when I was speaking, only the French speakers were hearing me. Okay. So he should kindly assign me as English-French interpreter. There is also a colleague who should be assigned as a French-English interpreter. If that is not done, then you will be listening to me. There will be interferences and, overlapping.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Jamal,
It's
done now. Okay, it's done. Okay, very good. I think we can start. Thank you very much, colleagues, for joining this meeting. And good afternoon, good morning. Wherever you are, and distinguished representative of regional and international organizations, directors of PIDA institutions, PIDA focal points from member states, distinguished representative of embassies Ladies and gentlemen, all protocol observed. I greet you all on behalf of the African Union Commission, and I would like to thank you for attending this important PIDA Continental Workshop. PIDA PAP 2 has benefited from the learning experience of PIDA PAP 1 since initiation of PIDA in 2012. In April 2019, STC meeting in Cairo, ministers urged AUC, AUDANEPAD, ADB, and UNECA to fast-track the development of the second phase of PIDA along the strategic pointers of a shorter but more operational list of projects which promote an integrated multi-sectoral corridor approach that is employment-oriented, gender-sensitive, and climate-friendly, and that connect urban industrial hubs with rural areas. At the Kigali stakeholders meeting in September 2019, the critical role of PIDA in developing infrastructure was again highlighted along the two key dimensions of facilitating African free trade area and as enabler of economic growth, including through regional and continental integration. Extensive research by a team of consultants from different consultancy firms led to the development of comprehensive documentation on the PIDA PAP 2 process and project selection criteria, which were developed through a participative approach of consultation with member states and regional economic communities, and finally validated at the November 2019 STC in Cairo. A task force consisting of the four PIDA institutions was given a clear mandate to ensure that the PIDA PAP 2 process reconciles the objective of remaining inclusive in terms of economic, job, gender, and climate impact, participative to secure full ownership by member states along with validation of regional dimension by RECs, but also strategic to ensure that PIDA projects lead to continental integration and realization of the goals of Agenda 2063. I must here commend the bottom-up approach adopted by the task force to engage into continuous engagement with member states and regional economic community through webinars, which result in the submission of over 240 projects. The PIDA PAP 2 process has benefited from the expertise and inputs of the task force members, sectoral experts from different partners and firms, represent a collective effort from a team of over 30 experts. The significant resources and expertise dedicated to the PIDA
PAP 2 process. On peut avoir l'interprétation, s'il vous plaît, de ce que vient de dire le monsieur, s'il vous plaît.
So, do we have interpretation? Yakuba?
No, we haven't. Bonjour, Monsieur Brelon.
So I don't know exactly from where. So do we have interpretation? Can you confirm that we have interpretation to French?
No, Monsieur Breda, no, we haven't.
Ah, you haven't.
Monsieur Krishna, il y a un problème de vitesse.
Okay, I think director, you must maybe speak a little slower because they have.
Pouvez-vous lui demander de ralentir un tout petit peu
pour permettre. Oui, ralentir parce que l'interprétant n'arrive pas à vous suivre.
Merci. Okay, je comprends, mais est-ce qu'il y a même l'interprétation de manière globale?
Merci beaucoup.
Do we have interpretation from English to French?
I think the person confirmed that there is, but the problem is that he cannot keep pace with you.
Okay.
Il peut pas vous suivre. Il faut peut-être ralentir un peu.
I will be slower. Okay. So I was saying that I must here comment the bottom-up approach adopted by the task force to engage into continuous engagement with member states and regional economic communities through webinars, which resulted in the submission of over 240 projects. The PIDA process has benefited from the expertise and inputs of the task force members, sectoral experts, and different experts from consultancy firm, which represent a collective effort from a team of over 30. The significant resources and expertise dedicated to the PDAPAP2 process has led to comprehensive tool, including a market and demand study for infrastructure, a PDA implementation strategy, a PDA financing strategy, and the documents to mainstream PDA in strategic infrastructure partnerships. These tools have been synchronized and integrated to enable seamless and timely implementation of PDAPAP2 projects. It's to be highlighted that the projects which were submitted and processed through a fully digitalized process during the global pandemic are also fully aligned to the realities of the post-COVID world, whereby economic recovery, jobs, gender, and green growth will be high on the agenda of member states and regional economic communities. This fortunate alignment is a unique opportunity to fast-track the implementation of the priority list of infrastructure projects, which can contribute to post-COVID recovery through the supply-side economic activities linked to implementation and the outcome in enabling productive activities, services, and trade impact efforts across Africa. The objective of Continental Workshop today is to present the PDAPAP2 process and outcomes and to achieve the consensus on the priority list and the process for taking on board the other project through a rolling reserve list mechanism. Following this first level of validation, technical validation in fact, the outcome will be submitted to the Bureau of the STC for further validations from decision organs leading to the adoption at the Heads of State Summit in 2021. Of course, through our Permanent Representative Committee and through the Executive Council, of course. So I declare this workshop open, and I would like to invite director colleagues from PDA institutions to address you, namely Mr. Umaru, Director of Infrastructure TDB, Mr. William Neka, and of course, my brother Idris, from Audio Nepal. Over to you, Mr. Umaru.
Thank you, Beda. Mr. Sheikh Beda, Director of Infrastructure at the African Union Commission and chairperson of this workshop. Distinguished representatives of the African member states, directors representing the other NEPAD, UNECA, and regional economic communities, members of the PDA Technical Task Force, dear participants. It's an honor for me to deliver these opening remarks on behalf of the African Development Bank. I would like to recognize and commend the work and effort put into organizing this workshop by our colleagues from the African Union Commission, the AUDA, NEPAD, UNECA, and the African Development Bank, who have all worked together and tirelessly over the past several months in the process of developing PDAPAP2. As we all know, 2020 has been a very difficult and challenging year, mainly as a result of the impact of COVID-19 that had impacted all countries and regions and business activities. It is therefore commendable that the development of PDAPAP2 has progressed well during the course of the year, making use of new ways of doing business remotely, and that the preparation is still on course for completion and submission to the next AU General Assembly as originally planned. For this, the leadership provided by the African Union Commission, with the support and collaboration of all key partners and stakeholders, needs special recognition. And we at the African Development Bank are certainly very proud to be part of that process. As you are aware, Mr. Chairman, the African Development Bank has been a strong supporter of the PIDA program, having financed and provided technical leadership in the first phase, PIDA Pub 1, but also supporting the accompanying initiatives such as capacity building, private sector engagement, and financing a number of the projects in the PIDA Priority Action Plan. You may be aware, Mr. Chairman, that the African Development Bank has provided an estimated total financing in the order of $7 billion US dollars for PIDA projects over the last 10 years, and close to $9 billion over the last 15 years to the continent's priority infrastructure programs and projects supported under the NEPAD infrastructure program, making it the lead financier with more than 50% of total financing secured. In addition, the bank has provided support to other initiatives for the implementation of PIDA, such as capacity building, mobilization of private sector participation through its various platforms and instruments. We are therefore delighted to continue our active association with the program, in particular, the ongoing development of PIDA Pub 2, by sharing the Project Selection Technical Task Force, providing support for the development of the financing strategy, as well as developing a new implementation support project for the PIDA Pub 2 once it is approved by the heads of state. The development of PIDA Pub 2 for the period 2021-2030 is therefore a very important undertaking for our continent to deepen its physical integration and supporting the effective operationalization of the African Continental Free Trade Area, ACFTA. We cannot overemphasize the importance of this process, and this continental validation is a major step towards the finalization of the new priority list of projects for the continent for the next 10 years. Our expectation, therefore, is that this workshop will come up with good feedback and an overall positive response to the process so far in the development of PIDA Pub 2, but also to the draft list of prioritized projects in all four PIDA sectors covering all the regions of the continent. Let me conclude, Mr. Chairman, by reaffirming the commitment of the African Development Bank to continue to play a real role in Africa's development and transformation, and in supporting continental and interregional infrastructure projects and program. Thank you for your attention, Mr. Chairman, and I wish you, I wish us all a successful workshop. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my dear brother, Director Umaru, for your personal involvement and engagement with regard to the PIDA Pub 2 process, but also the commitment from ADB to support the integration of the continent as usual, and also for your wonderful work that you are doing by chairing the task force itself, yourself and your team under the leadership of Mr. Mike. Thank you very much. Now I give the floor to Mr. William, the director from UNICA, to address this workshop. Please, Mr. William, you have the floor.
Good afternoon, everybody, and a good welcome to today's workshop. I would like to acknowledge the presence of the directors of AUC, AFDB, AUDA, NEPAD. I also like to acknowledge the presence of REC's member states, PIDA Task Force, whose collective effort is to be validated today. The African Network of Women in Infrastructure, which has been an essential contributor and in ensuring that. In ensuring that gender is mainstreamed in the selection of priority projects. River Basin Organization participation is also noted. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the ECA, our Executive Secretary, it's a great pleasure for me to deliver the opening remarks at this monumental occasion of the start of PIDA PAP2. Today marks the culmination of a process that was mandated by the second meeting of the Specialized Technical Committee on Transport, Transcontinental and Interregional Infrastructure, Energy and Tourism that was held in Cairo in April 2019. Through a rigorous and objective process, we have in front of us priority projects that are in contention for PIDA PAP2 up to 2030. I must also appreciate that this critical milestone has been achieved despite the presence of the most devastating pandemic in our living memory. When the work plan to achieve this milestone was devised, there was no consideration for COVID-19. However, the task force, RECs, member states, and others showed agility and devised innovative means of communicating and getting on with the work at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, I'll highlight only four observations or messages that ECA would like to relay today. First and most important one is that we no longer have the luxury of time. Projects have to be implemented faster than before. Infrastructure development is a critical catalyst for resetting of the economy of Africa. COVID-19 continues to wreak havoc in almost all African countries. The pandemic is also hugely responsible for the lowest economic growth on the continent from the second quarter of 2020 onwards. Its effects are still being monitored. However, there's now a focus on recovery strategies, of which infrastructure development is the most important for building back better African economies. Therefore, learning from the experience of PIDA PAP1, it has been important that rigorous process is followed in selecting projects that are implementable and contribute massively to inclusive economic development. We hope that the selected projects would be implemented faster as part of the post-COVID-19 recovery strategies. The second observation from UNECA, ladies and gentlemen, is that the involvement of private sector from planning to executing of projects is very crucial for the success of PIDA PAP2. This vital consideration was raised in the midterm review of PIDA. ECA has a special sub-program or division, which I lead, whose objective is to enhance the business environment to leverage the role of the private sector and its investments in economic growth and transformation of Africa. Amongst the results areas, it supports strategies to crowd in private sector capital, increase private sector participation in infrastructure. Therefore, ECA would like to continue through various UN instruments, such as SDG 7 initiative and others, to support the implementation of PIDA projects. Thirdly, it gives us comfort that the project selection process has been inclusive, and this ensures that the benefits trickle down to the lowest level of society. Learning from the past, we no longer pay lip service to gender equity, rural connectivity, youth employment, environmental sustainability, and so forth in infrastructure development. These considerations have been mainstreamed in the project selection, therefore aligning directly to Agenda 2030 and 2063. Moving forward, we should continuously monitor the impacts of project implementation to ensure that they contribute to social and economic transformation. This leads me to the last observation or message, that of systematic and continuous monitoring of the implementation progress. There's a minimum margin of error going to 2030. In addition to midterm reviews, we believe that a robust monitoring tool needs to be devised to identify issues and problems early and be able to implement changes and solutions. Amongst the discussions of issues in today's workshop, monitoring mechanisms should also be deliberated upon, as this forms an integral part of the project delivery process. Ladies and gentlemen, PIDA PAP2 process has delivered other important milestones. I make mention of PIDA market and demand study, the PIDA implementation strategy, the PIDA financing strategy, and PIDA common partnership strategy. All these strategic documents are central to the success of PIDA moving forward. There has to be a way of mainstreaming them systematically through the implementation of PIDA. As the Director of Private Sector Development and Finance Division, I stress ECA's commitment to ensuring that PIDA, the African Framework for Infrastructure Development, is a success. We would continue to support PIDA and extend our resources to various assignments as part of PIDA institutional architecture. With that, I hope you have a very fruitful deliberation at today's workshop. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Director William, for his very insightful remarks and for the support that UNECA is providing overall the process of PIDA, and for also being a secretariat of the task force. You are doing a great job within the task force. Thank you for yourself, and thank you for your team and the leadership of Robert also and Monga. Thank you very much. Now I give the floor to Mr. Amin, Director Infrastructure, no, I mean Director of Integration at Auda NEPAD. Do we have Director Amin?
Director Amin is not yet online, but with your permission.
On his behalf, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to the directors and all the distinguished guests. So all protocols observed. I will read Director Amin's opening statement on his behalf. So today marks a very important milestone in the PIDAPAP2 development process, which started last year when we defined the integrated corridor approach and the selection criteria that have been the basis for shortlisting the projects which we are going to discuss. You will recall that prior to the commencement of the exercise of submitting projects, the PIDA task force held several meetings and trainings for RECs and member states to sensitize them on the selection criteria and to come to an agreement on the process. Since the beginning of 2020, despite the difficult situation imposed upon us by the COVID-19 pandemic, but also thanks to the collective effort of all the stakeholders concerned, including the AUC, AFDB, UNECA, the RECs, member states and partners, we have come now to this stage of validating the list of projects. The final objective is that we will have a solid list of regional projects emanating from member states and validated by their RECs, which will constitute the portfolio of projects for the second phase of the PIDA 2021 to 2030 program, while also being aligned to the broader objectives of Agenda 2063. In addition to, sorry, I hear some background noise.
Can we ask, please, can you mute your mic if you are not speaking, please? Please. All colleagues, ensure that your mic are muted. Please go ahead, Dr. Twaila.
Thank you. In addition to constituting the list of priority projects, the work was also done in parallel, as has been mentioned by other directors, to prepare documents that would facilitate the implementation of these projects, namely the PIDAPAP2 implementation strategy, the partnership strategy, as well as the financing strategy. From the AUD and NEPAD side, we have been working under the guidance of the framework provided by the corridor approach, together with members of the task force and other partners, to develop the PIDAPAP2 implementation strategy. We use Hello?
Excuse me, Director. Dr. Twaila, excuse me, please. So, which Which country is raising the issue of interpretation?
La CRC n'entend pas l'interprétation.
C'est bon.
Là, c'est bon.
C'est OK.
Ouais, là, c'est pour bon. Moi aussi, c'est bon.
OK, c'est parfait. Burundi, j'ai vu que vous avez envoyé un message. Est-ce que vous nous écoutez, Burundi? OK, please. Dr. Toela, go ahead, please. Excuse me.
No problem. Thank you, Director. So working together with the task force and our other partners and using the integrated corridor approach to develop the PIDA implementation strategy, we have used the selection criteria and also used that the criteria to define implementation principles for PIDA PAP 2. These principles will then be complemented by the implementation strategy plan as well as PIDA PAP 2 implementation guidelines. The strategy has been designed to provide a high-level overview of how the PIDA PAP 2 projects would be developed and progressed through the project lifecycle from planning to financial close using the corridor approach, which would then allow us to enhance project bankability while broadening the socioeconomic development impact of these projects. The strategy provides a framework for coordinating all the stakeholders by setting out the institutional structure and the instruments that project owners would leverage to accelerate project development. The strategy also presents a way of data tracking, monitoring, and evaluation that would be used to enable us to track how the projects are progressing, as well as the overall progress on the PIDA PAP 2 project or portfolio, and therefore make recommendations in terms of any necessary realignments as far as the instruments and other institutional arrangements in line with the corridor approach. Ladies and gentlemen, you agree with me that the implementation of PIDA PAP 2 projects brings together the vision, mission, and the values of PIDA with the guiding principles of the integrated corridor approach. Our projects that have been defined in this way are expected to contribute to a people-led Africa by strengthening the role of women through the development of gender-sensitive infrastructure. The implementation of PIDA PAP 2 projects will also touch on the social aspects of infrastructure development and implementation, especially taking into account the post-COVID recovery. Therefore, through the implementation strategy, we'll meet all these criteria and we'll propose mechanisms for monitoring, evaluating, and implementing the projects. And in the same way, the operational guidelines will be designed to ensure flexibility in different regions of the continent and to ensure that no region is left behind. The strategy is almost complete. It has gone through several iterations and revisions and has benefited from input from the PIDA Task Force, PIDA Focal Points, and other partners. And we expect that it will be finalized by the end of this week and would then also be submitted for further validation prior to the endorsement of the PIDA PAP 2 process and projects in the January summit. In conclusion, AUDA and NEPAD would like to acknowledge the valuable efforts and comments and inputs provided so far from the various partners and stakeholders. In conclusion, allow me to commend the collaboration that has existed between the lead institutions, the AUC, the AFDB, UNECA, and AUDA and NEPAD. I would also join with the other directors in commending the work of the PIDA PAP 2 Task Force, together with their counterparts in the RECs and member states, for their diligence and commitment in seeing this process through and bringing us to this point of validation of the proposed PIDA PAP 2 projects. With that, I wish us all fruitful discussions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Toela. Thank you also to Director Amin. And thank you for AUDA NEPAD for the very, very important role and crucial role that you are playing in implementation of PIDA PAP 2 and for PIDA PAP 1. You are now the implementation arm of the African Union, and expectations are very, very high from you, but I'm sure that you will deliver as it was decided by our member states. Thank you very much, and I'm sure that under the leadership of Dr. Mayaki, AUDA NEPAD will really implement the selected project of PIDA PUP2 as will be decided by member states. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now I will give the floor to Mr. Mike, who is the chair of the PIDA task force on behalf of ADB, really to make the presentation of the PIDA PUP2 process and outcome. Please, Mr. Mike, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Mike Salau, who chairs the task force, is unable to join us this afternoon due to another pressing engagement that he's currently attending. So on his behalf, I'll represent the chairperson of the task force. My name is Mchira Jira from the African Development Bank. So a member of our team, Mr. Krishna, will make the presentation. But before that, I just wanted to say a few words to share the scope of work of the task force and its composition. So basically, the task force comprises the four continental institutions that provide the leadership to PIDA. It comprises technical and sector specialists from the African Union Commission, UNECA, AUDA NEPAD, and the African Development Bank. And the task force, really the scope of work had three main areas. The first was to provide support in the project identification and submission, so support to RECs. And in that work, we engaged in a number of training activities to inform the RECs and their member states on the criteria for submission, the requirements and modalities for the online submission for projects. In addition, we also undertook several training sessions or thematic webinars on a number of areas, including gender, jobs, but also sector-specific ones like climate change, project financing, etc. So we've had a lot of engagement with various stakeholders in that respect. The second task, scope of work for the task force was to support the project selection process. So once the projects were submitted from RECs and the member states, the task force had the responsibility of reviewing these submissions for eligibility. And then secondly, taking them through the project selection criteria to rank the projects and ensure that they actually meet the requirements, but also enable us to rank the projects in each region to arrive at the 10 per region as set out. And then the third area of scope of work for the task force is to support the process towards adoption. So for example, this particular workshop, preparing the material and supporting this workshop, but also the next steps that include the submission to the STC and also preparation and compilation of the final documents to the summit. I'd like to thank all the members of the task force for the diligent work that they have done over the past couple of months. It's not been easy. It's been very challenging. And as you would see in the subsequent presentations, we have arrived at some recommendations based on the work that was upon us and using the mandate and criteria that has been you know, put forward for selection of PIDA PUP2 projects. But also, I would like to recognize the strong support provided by our consulting team from CPCS, who have been providing the technical support in this whole process, but also preparing documentation that relates to other aspects of the project PIDA PUP2 selection process, such as the background material on the infrastructure demand projections, as well as the market study, etc. So at this moment, let me ask Krishna to make a presentation on the work that has been done so far. Over to you, Krishna. Thank you.
Maybe just before Krishna, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chirwa for this introduction. And I would like maybe to give the floor to Secretariat before to give it to Krishna for the presentation. Secretariat, Yuneka, please, you have the floor. As you are a Secretariat for the task force, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, good morning to everyone. My name is Monga Methwana. I represent the ECA Secretariat. I don't have anything much to add because Chirwa has actually explained to you the process, you know, that we've been involved so far. And, you know, and now we are at the process where we have made some selection out of the more than 200 projects that have been selected, that have been submitted to us. And as he had said, it hasn't been an easy process. You know, we've tried as best as we can, you know, to be as objective as possible and also to explain each and every recommendation that we've made. So the list of projects and the process that Krishna is gonna be presented here, you know, we would want sort of a positive engagement as we are putting it in front of you and for you to make us sort of the recommendation so that we can tighten up. You know, the bottom line here is for us to not to deviate, you know, from the mandate of selecting the set number of projects, because what we also have a view is that, you know, the projects that, you know, have impact and the projects that can be implementable, you know, should be the ones that can be done. And as the directors have mentioned that, you know, we need projects that can actually have chances, greater chances of implementation. So in that way, you know, the process today, you know, we've engaged with a number of RECs, number of other stakeholders, you know, through this process. And I believe that, you know, there won't be any surprises, you know, through this presentation, because I think it's shared by everyone. But now it's the first time, you know, that we all, you know, are together. And I see that we've got sort of a high participation, you know, of more than 150 participants in this. So we are looking forward to that. As a secretariat, we'll be taking sort of the comments, and then that will strengthen the project. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Munga, for this introduction also. And it's very important that we have as a secretariat, UN as a secretariat, this will, of course, this give ample opportunity also to the integrity and to the transparency of the process itself. So thank you very much for that. Mr. Krishna, just before, I see I have two requests for the floor, Hamada and Josephine Marhalet. Is it point of order or you wanted to address the meeting? Maybe if it is a point of order, I will give you the floor. Otherwise, we can maybe wait until we listen to the presentation. Hamada. Josephine Marhalet. Seems to be just for their hand. Okay, Mr. Krishna, the floor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Director. So can you see the presentation in full screen? Please confirm. Do you see the
yes.
full screen?
Yes, yeah. We can. Yes, thank we can. You. Go ahead.
So I'll run quickly through this and then we can dive into the actual projects. So these are the five steps initially planned for the AU summit. And as discussed, this has been completely, the process was disrupted because of the pandemic. And we had to improvise to implement a completely digital process. So as highlighted earlier, we have learned from Bida Pap 1, so fewer high impact projects with higher level of readiness, alignment with the integrated corridor approach and inclusion of economic, job, gender, climate and rural connectivity criteria. So you will note that there is the comprehensive documentation has been developed. The analytical note and strategic note are available on the Bida Pap 2 website publicly. It's the public part of the website, so anybody can download and read. The task force members were trained in the eligibility and selection criteria, and they then we collectively The task force then delivered training to the RECs in four of the regions. Unfortunately, then we had to switch to an online mode because of the lockdowns. And so by mid-March, actually, we switched to the mode. And then we very quickly developed this website, which was launched on 7th of April. So you all know the PDAP-UPTO website, which was used extensively for submission and validation of the projects. And then in parallel to that, we had 24 Zoom webinars, as discussed earlier, to complete the training, clarify, address questions, and then we dived into more thematic sessions. And then finally, we ended up with regional sessions with each of the RECs to focus on their projects. Following that, we had in July and August, we had 13 very focused task force, sectoral task force meetings with the RECs, with dedicated sectoral focal points from each of the REC were fully represented. And then we screened all the projects in detail, eligibility criteria, selection criteria, which led to the long list and eventually the short list. And then in September and October, the task force then met again, at least 8 to 10 meetings, where we had their in-depth screening, ranking, and arbitration. So we'll go through these steps. So this is the outcome. We had 242 projects initially submitted. 13 of the projects were finally found did not meet the eligibility criteria in the sense of regional projects. Although they were considered national projects, but not regional. As you know, PDA is about regional cross-border projects. And then we segregated them into three categories. 6 projects from the SIDS, Small Island Developing States. 8 projects were soft ICT projects, so enabling environment and soft projects, not hard infrastructure. And then 214 hard infrastructure projects were in the long list, what you call the reserve list. So this table gives the breakdown, and then these 214 eligible projects in the four categories, of course, massively dominated by transport sector, 93 projects, followed by energy, water, and ICT. So this is the distribution, 44% from transport, 30% energy, then water, which is good, which is a very good achievement, because I think part one, there were much fewer water projects. So we made an effort, including 2 thematic webinars on water, and with the help of the RBOs, River Basin Organizations, and RECs, we managed to submit more water projects. And finally, 24 ICT projects, 11%. Now, very quickly on the eligibility and selection criteria. So the 2 mandatory eligibility criteria is a regional project, which is cross-border or which has a regional impact, which is either documented in a master plan, a REC master plan, or where there is a very clear agreement among the countries concerned. It's a pass-fail criteria, mandatory to meet the eligibility criteria. Then we have these 8 selection criteria, categorized into the first category is inclusiveness and sustainability. So gender, rural connectivity, and climate are the inclusiveness and sustainability criteria. And then we have corridor planning, overlapping of corridors, overlapping of infrastructure along corridors, jobs, job creation, economic impact, financial attractiveness, and finally smart. So this is the weightage of the marks allocated to each criteria. And this gives details of the presentations will be uploaded on the website as usual. All the recordings and all the presentations are available for registered members. Most of you focal points already registered. So you can download, you can view, you can listen in the future. So we have nominally scored criteria and proportionally scored criteria. Yes.
Krishna, please.
Yeah.
Just one Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
We have a message from Ango Usman.
Yes.
He cannot see anything. He cannot hear anything. So maybe Mr. Yagoba can deal with that. Yagoba, can you deal with that? You can see that on the chat.
Okay, unfortunately, yeah, I can't see. I can't see the chat.
If he's the only one, maybe the problem might be.
It's a network problem. Yeah.
Okay, try to contact him even by email, please. Okay.
Okay.
Krishna, please go ahead.
Yes. So we have these two categories of criteria. They were all rigorously analyzed. So we have the corridor planning, which was done through a GIS-based system. So once this is why we asked for a map and GPS coordinates if available. So the consultant, our consultant, did some GIS mapping work where they identified the degree of overlap of these corridors. Then we have gender criteria, which was based on intended actions for gender-sensitive procurement. Could you please mute your mic? I can hear there's some background noise. Please mute your mic also. Then we have the economic criteria, which is based on the AIDI, which is the African Development Bank Infrastructure Index, Infrastructure Development Index. We have financial criteria, which is the financial attractiveness, which depends on the sector. SMART criteria tries to rate the innovative features of project, not only technological, but financial and any form of innovation. Then we have jobs, employment criteria, which was evaluated using the job toolkit. Environmental criteria was based on benchmarks for CO2 emission, life cycle CO2 emission, greenhouse gas emission using recognized methodologies. And then the rural urban connectivity, which was again based on GIS mapping to identify the degree, the number of rural people, rural population, which benefited from the project. The definition of rural here is any settlement with less than 50,000 people is considered rural. So that was done through the by the consultant using the GIS system to assess the how many people benefited in the rural areas from this infrastructure asset. Now, that was the results from the from this exercise, the marking exercise, the scoring, the weighted average is summarized in a tool, an Excel tool, which most of you are familiar with, and which rates actually ranks the project. So you can see this is a screenshot that we can go to, we will go to the tool next, that ranks the project based on the ranking. The score is in the second column here. The score achieved, the weighted average score. You will see the sector, subsector, etc. The next step, which was then the moderation step by the task force, which was also fine-tuned, reviewed with the REX later. It was to validate the claims made in terms of beneficiary countries, because this has a strong impact on the economic criteria, AIDI, etc. Because AIDI, this is based on average AIDI score. So we validated. In some cases, there were more countries claimed than can be justified. In some cases, there were not enough countries claimed. Countries, project owners were not claiming all the beneficiaries. So we corrected these based on evidence available on the maps and on the write-ups submitted, and which corrected tended to have the project a more realistic view of the ranking. The second step was to look at the matrix of scores or the 8 criteria, and to identify where there were data gaps. In some cases, some criteria could not be scored because there were data gaps. And then we contacted the RECs. We ensured that wherever possible, we completed the data, the missing data from RECs. In many cases, the task force members had a good knowledge also of these projects, of the regions, so we completed. We fill these data gaps, using an objective process, and this also led to a more realistic weightage and scoring of the projects. So the outcome of all these two iterations is in a long list of eligible projects, which is in this called moderation outcome, and the ranking based on the marks, the revised marks achieved. This was the starting point for what we call the arbitration steps. So in the arbitration steps, what we did is we looked at the sectoral balance, because we had one of the requirements of the mandate was that we need at least one project per sector, per region. In each region, we need one project per sector. And we also tried to have a relative balance between the sectors. Please, can you mute your mic, please?
Can you mute Judith Zama? Can you mute your mic?
Okay,
please go ahead. Krishna.
Yeah. So that arbitration process was done first by the task force, and then we reconvened. Actually, we consulted again with the RECs. There was a consultation meeting on 23rd of October, where we invited all the RECs to review this process, and in a few cases, in some cases, the RECs have actually advised what were their preferences, what they considered as their priorities, and we corrected, actually, we adjusted, we aligned to these priorities, which then led to the final list of projects. In some cases, the RECs also contacted us by mail and gave us their preferences or their clearances. And after this whole process, then we ended up with the latest list. So we had then we chose the 10 best projects of the arbitration in each region, so which leads us to 50 projects. And we had in the multi-region category, we had those projects that crossed several regions, that are strategic projects, that are part of AUSHI flagships, such as INGA and other projects, SATEM, that are PICI projects, Presidential Initiative Continental Infrastructure projects, that are strategic for continental integration, and in some cases there were ICT projects which contribute to post-COVID recovery effort. So these are the 16 projects that we propose to recommend in the multi-region category in the shortlist. So the rationale, this is a list actually of these projects, and this is the rationale in each case why these projects were maintained. We can go through them if there are questions. And this is the distribution of the 66 priorities, so 50 plus 16 plus 5 from the SIDS. So this is the total of 71 projects across the four sectors, and we can see that we have 10 per region, as we said, and you will notice that each region, the final results tend to reflect the priorities of each region. For example, in the central region, one of the key priorities is energy because of the high availability of hydro resources and low access to energy, and also transport. So these were the two priorities. Transport includes roads, bridges, rails, etc. In East Africa, it is transport, because East Africa plays a key role in the interconnecting the landlocked countries in Central Africa. There were a number of corridors, and then the other sectors were equally distributed. In North Africa, a strong focus on transport, because obviously water and energy, probably there is more access in the Northern African region on for energy. So transport was one of the key focus. In Southern Africa, it's energy and water, which is a concern, which is a priority in Southern Africa. And Western Africa, it's energy and transport. So globally, in the multi-region category, the highest priority is largest number of projects is energy, followed by water and transport, and then ICT. So in terms of percentages, we have more or less the same distribution, same pattern as the long list, highest being transport, 1/3 of the projects, shortlisted priority projects, 34% are in the transport sector, 22 projects, followed by energy, then water, and then ICT, 12 projects. So in terms of milestones, as you know, we've adopted the same milestones used in the implementation projects projects by AUDA NEPAD. So we have 7 projects in enabling environment, early stage enabling environment and needs assessment, 10 projects in project definition stage, 14 and 20 in pre-feasibility and feasibility respectively, and 10 and 18 in the last stages of project structuring and financial close. So it shows that there we have a good balance. There are some immediate projects. The 18 ones can materialize fairly quickly in terms of securing finance and moving towards implementation, while studies are being done for the pre-feasibility and feasibility studies are conducted to move these projects further down the life cycle, and some further upfront work is being done on the 17 early stage projects to move them into pre-feasibility and feasibility stages. But this will be this is key actually for the implementation, which, as colleagues said, will be detailed in the PIDA implementation strategy. So this is the pie chart of shows that it's fairly well distributed between around a quarter of the projects are can be fairly rapidly moved towards implementation in terms of the last stages, and then the rest are in study stages and early stages. These are the 5 projects from the SIDS, from the 5 islands who responded. One of them, I think Seychelles, didn't respond, although we tried to contact them several times. So, but these 5 projects will be included in the priority list as decided by the STC. So in terms of documentation, we have all the documentation will be translated in the 4 AUC languages. We have an overall PIDA documentation, which will summarize these other documents. We have the PIDA process and outcome summary. We have a strategic infrastructure partnership document by UNECA. We have the PIDA implementation strategy by AUDA. And finally, the PIDA implementation strategy by AFDB. And these, the results of
PIDA financing strategy. PIDA financing strategy.
Yeah, financing strategy by AFDB. Finally, we're developing actually, we're working in a short video that will summarize actually the key emerging strategic corridors from this list of 71. We will pick the most, I would say, we will group actually these 71 projects into the key corridors, which are already visible from the graphical images we have obtained. And these will be transformed into a short, attractive video, not interactive, but very user-friendly way of projecting these results, which are so that heads of state can...
L'interprétation, on entend rien.
Krishna, okay. S'il te plaît, une seconde.
Oui.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe avec l'interprétation? Qu'est-ce qui se passe?
S'il vous plaît, l'interprète, on n'entend rien.
Alors, s'il vous plaît, interprète. Les interprètes.
Non, on entend, c'est bon.
Oui. Ah, c'est bon.
C'est okay. Bon. Ça marche maintenant? Ça marche. Ah, ok.
Merci.
Ok.
Okay.
So, oui, on vous entend.
Ok, merci.
Bon, ça marche.
D'accord. Merci. Donc, en fait, in terms of planning, this is the proposed planning to the summit. So we are now here on the 12th, the Continental Workshop, and then we plan to go to the STC on 26th of November And then, as director said, the statutory meetings, the PRC, et cetera, until we reach the summit. So this is all for the presentation. So maybe we can view the tool, actually the actual tool and the actual list director under your guidance.
How many slides you have? I think I prefer maybe because we have.
S'il vous plaît, est-ce que Monsieur Krishna peut afficher la liste des projets qui ont fait l'objet donc d'accord ou qui sont présélectionnés? Est-ce qu'on peut l'avoir donc affiché sur l'écran?
S'il vous plaît, on va vous donner la parole. Monsieur Krishna, est-ce que vous avez la liste des projets? Oui. Est-ce que vous voulez les présenter sous forme de tableau ou sur le map?
Je pense plutôt sur forme de tableau, parce que le map, c'est difficile de suivre le nom, etc.
Ok, donc allez-y. Allez-y rapidement, s'il te plaît.
Alors. Est-ce que vous voyez? Vous voyez le fichier Excel?
Oui, c'est bon.
Ok, bon, je vais agrandir un peu. Je sais que ce n'est pas très lisible. Bon, en fait, ça, c'est la liste finale. Et tout ce qu'il y a avant, c'est les étapes dont je viens de vous montrer. Donc, la liste des projets, les scores, les étapes de modération qu'on a vues. Première étape, deuxième étape. Ensuite, la liste modérée et ensuite l'étape d'arbitration. Et finalement, voilà, là, ça, c'est la liste finale par région. Donc, la région nord, sud, ouest, est, centrale et la région multirégion et les sites. Donc, voilà bien la sûr. Liste. Oui.
Bien sûr, M. Krishna, ces données, il faut les mettre sur les sites, bien sûr. Ils sont sur le site déjà, ces données?
Ah oui. Tous les projets sont sur le site, tous les détails. Vous avez tous accès, vous êtes tous enregistrés comme points focaux. Tous les points focaux enregistrés officiels ont accès aux détails. Et si vous voulez aller regarder les projets, les projets sont…
Aussi, s'il te plaît, tous les participants, parce que nous avons un certain nombre de conseillers au niveau des ambassades qui assistent à notre réunion aujourd'hui, vous envoyez juste votre nom et votre adresse email et comme ça, vous serez aussi autorisé à accéder. En plus des points focaux au niveau national et au niveau des communautés économiques régionales. S'il vous plaît.
Exactement.
Très bien. Did you finish, Mr. Krishna?
Yes, Director. This is the list. So, should we go through region by region, or do we?
I don't think so. Because we have all data. All data are uploaded in the website. So, and of course, the region they have already all this information. ADB, do you have any additional comments as a chair of the task force after this presentation, ADB?
Sorry, Amadou, go ahead.
No, I was asking whether you have anything to add.
Ah, okay. No, it was just to say the agenda, the way it was set out, the first presentation was on the process and the outcome, which Krishna has done. And the agenda had a Q&A in case the workshop participants wanted to clarify issues around the process that was followed. And then I think in the agenda then followed the presentation of these projects. But perhaps now we have combined. If Chair would permit, maybe we just go ahead and maybe increase the size of the screen so that participants can see the list for each region, and then we go into a Q&A after that. Otherwise, nothing more to add at this stage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Shirwa. I think I didn't get you very well, maybe. Do you think that we have to share the screen region by region, or we can even open for the discussion because, of course, we have a limited time?
Sorry, Chair. Chair, can I make a small point?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for the purpose of this presentation, you know, I would have liked, you know, because the process is as important as the product. You know, we wanted to have sort of some comments and you know, on the rigorousness of the process, you know, from the participants to see if the process, because there will be ample time to talk about, you know, the project. I think that's the next presentation. But now, you know, to look at the process is fair. Thank you.
On n'entend pas bien la traduction.
Thank you very much.
On n'entend pas bien la traduction.
Thank you very much. So, in fact, so interpretation, isn't interpretation working or not? Can somebody check? Yagoba, est-ce que l'interprétation, est-ce qu'on a l'interprétation ou non?
Oh, oui, David.
Thank you.
Et maintenant que l'interprétation passe.
Qui a l'interprétation?
Ok,
est-ce
merci.
Que ça passe maintenant?
Ok, merci. Merci bien.
On entend mieux.
Ok, merci. Merci bien. So there is a suggestion to go region by region.
Non, il est proposé qu'on aille région par région.
To give ample time to discuss et all
pour,
the things.
Pour nous accorder suffisamment de temps pour faire les discussions nécessaires.
Ok, directeur, I can do this, but there are two people are raised.
Monsieur le directeur, je peux le faire, mais je vois deux mains de levée. Il y a deux personnes qui sollicitent la parole.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Krishna.
Il y a apparemment, il y a redondance. Hein? Il y a redondance dans l'interprétation. Quand je parle, on écoute en même temps.
Oui, est-ce moi aussi. Pouvez... J'ai remarqué.
Est-ce que vous pouvez dire ça, s'il vous plaît?
Ah, il faudrait que l'autre enregistre l'interprète comme interprète et non pas comme participant. Et peut-être c'est là... La raison.
S'il vous plaît, Yagoba, est-ce que vous pouvez faire ça?
Yes, du mal.
Oui, enregistrez-moi comme interprète. Voilà, merci.
C'est fait? OK. So I was saying, if you want really to go region by region and to share the screen of the selected project, and then we can have discussion region by region. So what do you think? Umaru, my brother Umaru, what do you think?
Chair, I'm not sure we'll have the time to do that. Although, you know, we can have maybe just a general overview of the projects that have been selected by region, by just maybe reading the name of the projects. But I'm not sure we'll have time to discuss them in details. But I also heard someone who wanted to hear about the process itself. So maybe we can start by just, you know, broadly discussing the process, and then after that, go through the projects region by region, and just maybe, you know, have a broad overview of the project. Yes. That was selected.
Thank you, my brother Maru. But I thought that Krishna fully and deeply explained the process. So do we have questions related to the process itself?
Process. Director, there are comments, for instance, in the chat, you know, where the people are asking about the process.
Okay. Let's open the floor really to address the question related to the process itself. So I see two raised hands, Mamadou Alassane and then Josephine Marhalet. Josephine Marhalet, please, you have the floor. Josephine Marhalet. She's not answering. Okay, Mamadou Alassane Camara, please, you have the floor.
activer le micro. C'est pas possible.
Ça, c'est bien possible. Voir. C'est bien possible. Allez-y, vous êtes en ligne. Allez-y, parlez.
D'accord. Oui, bonjour. Bonjour à tout le monde. Moi, je suis tchadienne. Je réponds au nom de Maralie Joséphine. Je suis journaliste à la télévision nationale tchadienne. En tant que point focal genre du ministère de la Communication, je suis intéressée par ces projets PIDA qui prend en compte les infrastructures en Afrique, surtout dans les pays membres. Et je voudrais juste ajouter que ça, c'est ma préoccupation personnelle. Je voudrais dire que qu'est-ce que l'Union africaine, à travers PIDA, prévoit pour les femmes en milieu rural, surtout les infrastructures, les femmes qui produisent, mais elles n'ont pas les moyens pour écouler leurs produits sur le marché. Qu'est-ce que l'Union africaine, à travers PIDA, prévoit pour leur permettre d'écouler leurs produits sur le marché? De deux, par rapport aussi à la transformation des produits locaux, qu'est-ce que PIDA prévoit dans ce sens pour aider ces femmes à transformer localement leurs produits?
Merci, je vous remercie. Merci, Madame Joséphine. En fait, très brièvement, pour répondre à votre question, pour le milieu rural, on a bien prévu un critère spécifique qui permet la sélection de ces projets et qui adresse la question d'inclusivité à travers la connexion entre le milieu rural et les corridors qui seront identifiés. Donc, ceci est bien pris en compte. Dans le cadre de votre deuxième question, nous pensons que le réseau et le maillage qui va être fourni à travers la mise en place de ces infrastructures va permettre de relier les centres de production avec les centres de consommation. Et certains de ces centres de production sont effectivement dans le milieu rural pour faciliter la transformation des produits en Afrique. Globalement, ce sont les questions. Donc, nous voyons bien que le PIDA adresse les deux problématiques que vous avez bien voulu soulever. Merci. Je donne maintenant la parole à Monsieur Tahani Silet. Please, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that when I consult the website, the PIDAPAP2 website, I don't have the shortlisted per region, that the one that have been just showed here in the presentation. So if it is possible, either to share it with us here or to just zoom on the regions and the multi-region to see exactly what are the projects that have been shortlisted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my dear sister. In fact, we will share the screen and we will read even the selected project region by region as suggested by the chair of the task force ADB. Immediately after this, after getting a few comments on the process, specifically on the process.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, May Diab, you have the floor. Mr. Tahani, can you lower your hand? Mr. Tahani, okay.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks, Chair. I have a question, please, regarding the procedure that we need to do to make agreements with other countries regarding any project. Is there a unified and defined procedure that we all can follow in order to make any agreements with other countries in the continent? Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is the procedure. This is a part of the eligibility criteria, and we are addressing that through the regional economic communities, because if the program is submitted by regional economic communities, for us, we are supposing that the regional economic has taken the all necessary discussion internally within the region, so we don't have this kind of issues. Thank you very much. South Africa. Please, South Africa, you have the floor. Mijab, can you lower your hand, please? Okay, South Africa, please.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon to colleagues. Let me take the opportunity to express our gratitude to the AU Commission and the task force for the great work. From what has been presented to us, it's actually heartwarming. It's a diligent work that has considered quite critical factors. The project, they take into account the issues of climate friendly, gender sensitivity, and they are inclusive in their nature, and we're really proud to hear that the task force has considered all these. And of course, because they were working with the regional economic communities, we have no doubt where we are seated that the interest and the needs, specific needs of each region might have been taken into account as well. So we are very, very grateful on that one, Chairperson. However, Chair, there are two things that we perhaps need clarity from your side in terms of that the process. I had the issue about mainstreaming women in particular, but there's another leg of our young people, youth, which I haven't heard, unless if I missed that part, in terms of how are we also going to mainstream our young population, since our continent is mainly youth. The second part is in terms of the percentage that are distributed to those sectors. I think I've identified ICT as the least with 12.18%. I'm raising these in light of the digital divide and perhaps even the lessons that we might have learned emanating from the COVID-19, that as a continent, we need to really catch up. And we have seen and experience have shown that at the time when most of the countries were going through the lockdown, the education in most of our institution came to a halt, particularly the rural child. Only those that are living in the suburbs and those that are privileged were able to access education. So I thought that the issues of the ICT going forward would have perhaps the percentage would have been far much bigger than that, but I also do respect the wisdom of the task force. But if they could just clarify in terms of why do we have the ICT as the least. And then the final one, Chair, excuse me, you said there's going to be a meeting of the STC on the 26th November for this work will be presented to the STC. Just a clarity, is it the meeting of the STC or is it the STC Bureau? I submit. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Excellency, representative of South Africa. And we are really happy that we are addressing the issues as you expected us to do, and from your seat specifically as a chair of the Union South Africa, we are very proud that you are comfortable with this process and you are comfortable with the outcomes also of this process of PIDA Part 2. With regard to the three questions, very quickly, mainstreaming of women and youth, both are addressed within the criteria that is identifying the job creation of youth, because when we are talking about job creation, we are mainly talking about youth. When we are talking about women, this is incorporated when we are addressing the criteria also of job creation, because we are looking on specific projects how women will be influenced within this project in terms of procurement issue, in terms of how many women we will have as employee in this project, and how many women will be also the managers of this project. All these data are incorporated in the selection with regard to the job creation tool. With regard to ICT, ICT aspect and digitalization are addressed twice in this process. First one by ICT infrastructure, which is shown here, and you have 24%, but it is also addressed within the smart component, the smart criteria, when we are addressing all projects, including energy, water, and transport. The component of smart is incorporated in the selection of different sector. So you will not have only ICT infrastructure, but also the energy, transport, and water projects are also smart. So there is a component of digitalization within those sectors. So I think this address your second point. And third point regarding the STC, we are planning to have an STC on 14 December for ministerial meeting and 11 December for expert meeting. But prior to that, we will have, of course, by the end of this month, beginning of December, we will have a bureau of the STC, because if you remember very well, this process was delegated to the Bureau of the STC, and then the Bureau of the STC will, of course, share it with the entire STC on 14 December at the ministerial level, then to move it forward, really to be presented before PRC and Executive Council, and later on before summit. Thank you very much. I hope I address your points, my dear brother, from Southern African Embassy, Mr. Mohali. Excellency, did I address your points?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Les Comores, Directeur d'Aménagement, please. Prenez la parole, Directeur d'Aménagement Comores.
Merci, Excellence, Mesdames et Messieurs, l'assistante, je vous remercie de m'avoir donné la parole. Bon, je profite de cette occasion d'abord remercier à notre ministre des Transports aériens et maritimes d'avoir accepté d'assister à cette réunion qui compte vraiment l'importance de cette réunion à la validation du projet des Comores. Toutefois, j'ai une question que je voulais savoir par rapport au projet. Est-ce que c'est possible d'afficher les projets par pays et par région? Car j'ai vu que les Comores participent sur des projets de la région pour qu'on puisse répertorier les différents projets que les Comores pourraient être bénéficiaires. Donc, je vous remercie.
Merci bien. Vous aurez bien sûr la liste affichée tout de suite, mais je rappelle qu'il ne s'agit pas ici des projets nationaux. Ce sont des projets continentaux, mais certainement il y a des pays bénéficiaires de ces projets continentaux, mais vous aurez tout de suite la liste affichée région par région. Merci.
Merci beaucoup.
Sur la CAC, Monsieur Guichard.
Oui, merci Monsieur le Directeur. Je voudrais commencer par remercier l'Union africaine et tous ceux qui ont contribué, la CEIA, le NEPAD, à qu'on arrive à ce niveau d'avancement sur le projet PIDA. Je voudrais simplement revenir sur le fait que, parce que j'ai vu que les gens s'intéressaient à qu'on puisse regarder le projet en détail, mais je pense que l'approche qui a été suivie pour la sélection des projets du PIDA 2 était une approche participative. Donc, comme l'a présenté Krishna, c'est tout un processus qui avait commencé. Les États membres, nous avons été impliqués. Les CR, nous avons été impliqués, je veux dire par là, tous les bénéficiaires, nous avons adopté les critères. Et je pense qu'au cours de cette réunion, le travail qu'on pouvait faire serait de regarder si le processus ou si les critères qui ont été validés au cours des réunions des instances, hein, la sélection de projets a obéi à ces critères-là. Et pour ce faire, je pense que la task force a eu le temps d'envoyer la liste des projets qui ont été retenus à tous les bénéficiaires, dont nous, les CER, que nous sommes. Je pense que plutôt l'accent devait être mis sur ce côté. Et après, il reviendra à chacun de vouloir s'approprier des projets, sachant que, n'est-ce pas, les critères de sélection ont été respectés, que nous avons tous, de façon consensuelle, adopté et fait valider par nos instances. Voilà un peu la contribution que je voulais faire. Et je pense qu'en 2 heures de temps, passer en revue les projets sélectionnés, je ne pense pas que ça soit productif. C'est juste un point de vue. Merci.
Merci, merci, M. Guichard. Donc, en fait, je vous rejoins parfaitement bien, mais nous sommes aussi, si vous le comprenez bien sûr, tenus aussi à obéir au maximum possible aux doléances de nos participants dans cette réunion. Donc, certains souhaiteraient bien voir la liste devant eux, sachant que le processus, comme vous avez bien dit, a été très participatif. Il a engagé les États membres et puis bien sûr les communautés économiques régionales qui portent un peu les intérêts de ces États membres. Et ceci est le fruit d'un travail qui a duré depuis quelques mois et qui était un travail inclusif et collégial aussi, et collectif même. Donc, Mr. Krishna, I see any risk for the floor. Mr. Krishna, can you just very quickly to share the screen region by region and SIDs by SIDs also, please?
Yes, Director. So, voilà. Okay, so can you see, is it big enough? Can make it slightly bigger. Okay, so this, we start with the northern region. So this is the list after the consulting the REC, UMA. So we have réhabilitation, modernisation, amélioration des prestations dans les chemins de fer transparent grévin. And the second project here is the réhabilitation, création de centres transfrontaliers en zone logistique multiservice dans le cadre de l'aménagement du corridor transmaghrébin. C'est un projet qui va bénéficier à 5 pays. Ensuite, c'est le câble sous-marin de fibre optique, la haut débit, qui dessert en fait plusieurs pays de l'Afrique du Nord. L'autoroute Boussalem jusqu'aux frontières algériennes. Ça, c'est le projet de la route Mascara-Béchar de l'Algérie qui va vers la Mauritanie. Nous avons un projet d'extraction de souterraines à travers, en utilisant l'énergie solaire et l'énergie éolienne. Ensuite, la connectivité, l'étude de faisabilité pour l'interconnexion électrique Maroc-Mauritanie. Et ce projet, c'est un projet PIDAPAP 1, en fait, celui-là, qui consiste à une exploitation durable des eaux souterraines, des nappes phréatiques, combinées avec l'énergie solaire pour pomper l'eau et avec des techniques d'irrigation, je dirais, efficientes. Pour rendre durable en fait l'opération de pompage de l'eau de ces nappes phréatiques. Finalement, l'autoroute reliant la partie terminale Fessouja à l'Algérie et en dernier Libyan Alternate Highway. Voilà les 10 projets dans la région nord qui ont été après discussion avec UMA. Qui se retrouvent dans la shortlist. Dans la région sud, nous avons en fait 10 projets aussi. Et dans ce cas précis, on n'a pas eu à faire la SADC en fait nous a demandé un seul changement. C'est le projet numéro 7, l'Oapula, qui n'était pas dans la liste, qu'on nous a demandé d'introduire dans cette liste. Au lieu d'un projet qui s'appelle Mega Solar, qui est encore très 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 préliminaire. Donc, sinon, la liste de la SADC était plus ou moins la liste telle que le ranking, telle que les critères ont défini. Donc, la liste, c'est un projet dans les TIC. Sorry, I'm speaking French, but is that fine? Is that translation into English? Is it okay?
Yes, but yeah. SADC, you can please go
in English. Okay, I'll switch to English. Okay, good. So in the case of SADC, we have this SADC regional data neutral carrier, which is a very important project for SADC. We have the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 2, which is also critical for both Lesotho and South Africa power water supply. Then we have this ICT backbone project connecting Mozambique and with actually POP, and to reply to some of the queries made earlier, this is one of the projects that will also contribute to end use to ICT as an enabler for jobs, etc. So please, could you mute your mic? Alpha Omar.
Please, Alpha Omar, s'il vous plaît. What? Est-ce que vous pouvez muter votre micro?
Okay, it's done. Then we have Lesotho Botswana water transfer. Again, a critical project for the region to transfer water from a water-rich region in Lesotho to Botswana. We have the Beira port development in Mozambique, but which will benefit the Beira corridor, the whole corridor up till the landlocked countries. We have the Baines hydropower and the Luapula, as I said, which SADC asked to reintroduce. And then we have this standard gauge rail from Mtwara to Munchuma. Yeah. And this is a dam, multipurpose dam, irrigation dam actually in Namibia. And then the Zizabona transmission power interconnector. So this is the list from Southern Region SADC, all SADC projects. In the case of West Africa, actually, we didn't have to do any adjustment. So the list which came from the ranking is the actual list which was retained by, which was validated by ECOWAS. In this case, the REC is ECOWAS, so there was no need for any arbitration here. This is the actual list that we have the regional internet exchange point. We have a multi-purpose dam, barrage, a bit multiple de Fomi. We have the Abidjan Lagos corridor. We have the Boucle Ferroviaire, which is partly rehabilitation, partly new construction, starting from Abidjan all the way to Ouaga, Niamey, and then back to Cotonou-Lomé. And then Central Hydraulique Louga 1 and 2. This is a large 3 gigawatt project in Nigeria, Mambila Hydro. Then we have this cable, submarine cable, which goes from Brazil to Portugal and which will connect the region. The Praia Dakar Abidjan multimodal corridor. And one of the WAP, we had several projects from WAP, West African Power Pool. So this one in Mali was selected among the 3 or 4 solar farms, solar power parks that was proposed by WAP. This is the one that made it into the short list. The others are in the long list. And then we have this very old project of barrage, multipurpose dam from Nubiel, which is in the list. So this is the list, as I said, which ECOWAS is happy with. We didn't have to intervene at all on this list. In the eastern region, it was a little more difficult because we had so many, we had many more projects. We had over 70 projects. And we have here the good mix of hydro resources, so OZZ 4, Dawa multipurpose dam. We have this very, very large project of Central Corridor starting from Dar es Salaam all the way to Rwanda and with extension to DRC, which is a key project from EAC. We have Akagera River Transport Project, which is a very energy efficient fluvial transport. We have the Lapsep Railway from IGAD, Juba Nairobi Fiber Optic Link from IGAD, and a standard gauge rail Mombasa to Kigali from EAC. Trans-border submarine cable, actually submarine, this is under the lake actually, to connect Eastern Africa to Central Africa, DRC. And we have the ENELSA project, which is Angololo Multipurpose Water Resources Development Project, multipurpose dam from IGAD, and then the one transmission line, Masaka Mwanza project. So in this case also, the only change which was requested by EAC was to slightly change the appellation of this project, the Central Corridor, by adding this component, one of an additional link to the project. In the case of Central Africa, we have pardon, je vais passer au français. Donc là aussi, c'est un cas où il y a eu pas vraiment d'arbitration en fait. On a gardé la liste presque telle quelle, en fait telle quelle. Hein, on n'est pas vraiment intervenu sur cette liste. Donc le site hydraulique de Cholet et ligne de transport associée. Donc c'est un projet en fait qui va bénéficier un certain nombre de pays. Ensuite, construction du barrage hydroélectrique de Palambo, l'interconnexion des réseaux large bandes des États, très stratégique pour la région pour améliorer en fait la capacité de communication, comme si bien souligné par les collègues de l'Afrique du Sud, en fait l'importance des connexions large bandes pour la connectivité. Site hydraulique BAC et le TEMO en République centrafricaine. Les sites hydroélectriques, ces deux sites hydroélectriques, Boué et Tsengele-Lélédi, avec les lignes de transport. Ça, c'est un pont stratégique sur le fleuve Ntem, un pont très stratégique qui permet de relier le Cameroun et la République de Guinée équatoriale, l'interconnexion des réseaux électriques Inga et les Cabinda Pointe Nord sur la côte, très stratégique en fait pour Inga lui-même, mais aussi pour distribuer en fait cette énergie propre vers les villes sur la côte. Le pont sur la rivière Ubangi sur ces corridors routiers. En fait, la force de la région, c'est l'hydraulique, en fait, les rivières. Mais il faut aussi voir que les rivières sont une barrière, peuvent être une barrière. Donc, les ponts sont très, très stratégiques pour connecter ces régions. Nous avons ce programme de soutien, en fait. Ça, c'est un projet très, très stratégique, visionnaire, je dirais, de navigation fluviale. Sur ce de la SICOS, en fait, c'est un projet du EABO SICOS qui vise à créer le cadre en fait pour ensuite venir avec des projets de navigation fluviale, sécurisation de la navigation fluviale, gestion durable des ressources en eau du bassin du Congo, et finalement développement des infrastructures, des data centers qui sous-tendent l'économie numérique. Donc, encore une fois, un projet TIC, mais à faute, je dirais, qui utilise l'infrastructure pour des résultats, pour des impacts économiques. Donc, tout ce qui est digitalisation, emploi, etc. Donc, voilà les 10 projets de la région centre, très stratégiques, je dirais, et on n'a pas eu vraiment à faire beaucoup d'interventions sur les classements. Donc, dans la catégorie maintenant multi-région, nous avons 16 projets, donc à commencer par ce projet PICI Project. Donc c'est un projet très stratégique pour interconnecter l'Afrique du Nord à l'Afrique de l'Ouest, donc Nigeria jusqu'à Nigérie, en fibre optique. Nous avons ce projet de TIC, d'interconnexion de backbone entre à travers le lac en fait Tanganyika. Donc, qui est très, très important, très stratégique pour connecter en fait la région centre avec la région est. Nous avons le Inga Free Transmission Interconnector. Donc, c'est la nouvelle ligne à courant continu qui va délivrer la puissance, l'énergie de Inga 3 vers l'Afrique du Sud. Nous avons ce projet AIP, donc ça c'est un projet continental qui concerne tous les pays de l'Afrique, AIP Project de gestion transfrontalière, Transboundary Water Investment. Then we have this Grand Inga, we've renamed it phase one. So this is phase one of Inga, actually it's Inga 3. This is the 11,500 megawatts of Inga 3. It's called now phase, it's the phase one. Ensuite, nous avons ces deux projets au Soudan qui sont dans un cas, c'est le projet qui connecte en fait, qui est sur la trans, donc République centrafricaine et Soudan, c'est sur le corridor au Soudan Douala, corridor diagonal, c'est un tronçon du, it's a section of the diagonal corridor from au Soudan to Douala. The other one is between Chad and Sudan, which is on the corridor from Dakar to Djibouti, one of the Trans-Africa Highway project, TAH projects. Then we have the fiber optic component of the from Port Sudan to Douala again, strategic to connect eastern region to the central region, ICT connectivity. We have this project on gestion intégrée et concertée des ressources en eau, fleuve Niger. Donc, c'est un projet en fait entre l'Afrique du Nord et l'Afrique de l'Ouest de gestion des ressources des eaux souterraines, mais avec une modélisation du fleuve Niger pour voir en fait comment se recharge, comment les aquifères se rechargent et comment gérer de façon durable en fait ces ressources en eau qui cut across en fait les deux régions. Nous avons ce projet d'étude de faisabilité approfondie d'aménagement du lac Tchad, ça c'est le lac lui-même. Ensuite, nous avons combiné trois projets, il y a trois projets très similaires, en fait très liés, pour mobiliser l'eau d'abord sur le barrage Bria. Donc, un barrage sur la rivière Chari, de Briadam. Ensuite, la rivière Chari lui-même pour emmener l'eau et ensuite l'aménagement de ce corridor pour emmener cette eau pour essayer de renflouer, de réhabiliter le lac Tchad. Nous avons ce projet visionnaire de This is a lake, the Big Med project from Lake Victoria to Mediterranean Sea. Which is strategic actually in terms of fluvial navigation to connect these landlocked countries to the Mediterranean Sea. We have this LAPSET crude oil pipeline from Port Lamu to South Sudan, which has been highlighted as a weakness in the region. There are not enough refineries, oil refineries to supply fuel to these landlocked countries. So a crude oil pipeline will support refinery activities and then facilitate access to fuel, liquid fuels for these landlocked countries. And then we have these two next projects are concerned with transferring power from Eastern EAPP, from the Eastern Power Pool to the north. So one is from Ethiopia to Sudan, and the next is from Sudan to Egypt. So Egypt-Sudan electrical grid as a first stage for continental interconnection. So these two are in the list. And then we have one project which has been introduced in the context of SATEM. So single African air transport market, which is a very strategic project for SATEM to harmonize the aviation infrastructure in terms of communication networks, systems across the continent for all the countries on the continent. That will be a very critical step towards.
Donc, c'est une étape très importante vers.
Sorry, interpretation. I think could you? Okay, so these are the 16 projects in the continental multi-region category. Then we have these five projects from the CITS. So we have Liaison Maritime. entre les îles Comores, très projet très intéressant pour le tourisme en fait aux Comores. Ça concerne en fait les croisières, les mini-croisières entre les îles et les phares, etc. Pour démarrer le tourisme aux Comores. Nous avons ce projet stratégique en fait du canal qui traverse la capitale, l'assainissement du canal, réhabilitation du canal. Nous avons en fait, il y a un deuxième projet qui concerne l'eau, mais il faudra en fait choisir. J'ai déjà écrit au point FOCO de Madagascar pour qu'ils décident entre ces deux lequel ils vont retenir. Il faut noter que le premier projet, c'est un très gros projet de 88 millions. Le deuxième est un projet de 2 millions. Donc peut-être on attend le choix final de Madagascar. Le projet de l'île Maurice, c'est un projet de Petroleum Jetty, donc un hub, Petroleum Hub, dans un nouveau port. Nous avons ensuite ce projet de station d'hygrométrie dans l'île de Sao Tomé et Principe, où l'eau est un gros souci dans ces pays très affectés par le changement climatique. L'eau est une ressource rare, donc des stations d'hygrométrie pour optimiser le monitoring de l'eau. Et finalement, des Cap Verts, nous avons le lien Praia Dakar. Donc, c'est la partie maritime du couloir, du corridor Praia Dakar, Abidjan. Donc, c'est la partie navette, bateau, connexion Praia à Dakar. Voilà les projets des SIDS. Donc, voilà la liste des 71 projets dans les 5 régions, multi-régions et les petits états insulaires.
Merci. Merci, M. Krishna, pour cette présentation. Je pense que vous avez donné les détails. Pour résumer, donc, il y a un processus de classification en utilisant les critères qui ont été adoptés par le ministre. Et après, il y a eu un échange avec les communautés économiques régionales pour s'assurer davantage qu'effectivement, ce qui est ressorti de l'évaluation, mathématique, correspond parfaitement bien aux attentes des différentes communautés économiques régionales, ce qui a été le cas. On a eu peut-être une ou deux exceptions où telle ou telle communauté économique a beaucoup insisté pour effectivement apporter ou changer un seul projet peut-être, sachant que ces projets demeurent aussi bien classés dans le cadre de la liste globale, mais pour répondre à un certain nombre d'équilibres dans la communauté économique régionale de manière spécifique. Donc voilà, donc c'est ça le résultat, c'est ce qui est sorti. Comme mon collègue de la CAC, il a dit, le processus a été très inclusif. J'avoue qu'il va être très, très difficile maintenant de réouvrir le processus, sauf s'il y a vraiment un consentement au niveau de telle ou telle région pour un réglage très sommaire à tel ou tel point. Sauf ce cas, je pense que nous devrons tous donner notre bénédiction à ce processus et aux résultats de ce processus et bien sûr essayer d'avancer dans le futur, sachant que ce n'est pas seulement les projets PIDA qui sont une priorité pour les partenaires. C'est vrai que ça va être la top priorité, mais ceci ne diminue en rien aussi les autres projets qui n'ont pas été sélectionnés dans le cadre de la shortlist. Nous avons toute une liste d'attente. Et bien sûr, nous travaillons sur tous ces projets pour leur donner, bien sûr, la continuité et la mise en œuvre. Donc voilà, je vais ouvrir maintenant la parole. Je donne la parole à Algeria Boumaza Energy. Please, Algeria. Algérie, vous avez la parole. Algérie, il faut juste…
Oui, bonjour, est-ce que vous m'entendez?
Si, on vous entend bien, madame.
Bien, bonjour, je me présente, je suis Leïla Boumaza, directrice de la coopération internationale au ministère de l'énergie algérien et je suis également point focal pour le PIDA PAP 2. J'avais juste quelques questions par rapport au processus de sélection de projets, notamment par rapport aux conditions d'acceptation des projets. Il était indiqué pour accepter un projet, il était nécessaire de recueillir l'acceptation de tous les pays concernés. Donc, je voulais savoir comment cette condition a été prise en charge, notamment l'accord des pays concernés pour la proposition de projet, notamment en ce qui concerne les projets qui passent par des régions qui ne sont pas autonomes ou qui font objet de conflits voilà, au sein de l'Union africaine. Et je voulais savoir aussi, est-ce que les projets ont été soumis à l'approbation des régions et des REC. Voilà. Merci beaucoup.
Merci, ma sœur. Je m'en vais rapidement vous répondre à votre question. Je commencerai peut-être par la deuxième question. Effectivement, on a eu des réunions de consultation avec les communautés économiques régionales et en l'occurrence pour votre région, on a eu une longue discussion avec Yuma. Donc, par rapport à ces projets, cette liste a été identifiée avec Yuma, qui est l'Union du Maghreb arabe, bien sûr, qui représente la région. Par rapport à votre première question, nous regardons ici les infrastructures de manière physique. Les autres obstacles dans le cadre de la mise en œuvre viendront après et peut-être au moment de la mise en œuvre, certainement, ces questions de conflit dont vous faites référence pourraient être soutenues. Donc, sur le plan géographique aujourd'hui, nous regardons entre deux régions, par exemple, il y a un manque de liaison, que ce soit au niveau énergétique ou que ce soit au niveau des routes. Et nous pensons que pour l'intégration du continent, il faut commencer par l'intégration entre deux régions voisines. Et donc, nonobstant les conflits qui persistent ici ou là, sur le plan physique, il faut travailler, il faut déjà commencer les études, il faut déjà commencer la mobilisation des financements et certainement, dans le cadre de la mise en œuvre, nous allons voir comment adresser ces questions. Mais, pour votre cas de manière spécifique, il y a deux projets qui passent plus ou moins par les zones dont vous faites référence. Il y a une ligne d'interconnexion entre le Maroc et la Mauritanie. C'est une étude, je rappelle bien que c'est une étude, donc, bien sûr, conformément à la carte géographique de l'Union africaine. Ceci engage trois pays, c'est clair et net, conformément à la carte géographique de l'Union africaine. Et nous avons aussi un deuxième projet qui est une autoroute entre l'Algérie et la Mauritanie qui engage aussi trois pays, bien sûr en passant par la République arabe sahraoui. Ça, c'est clair et net. Donc, nous pensons que ceci couvre parfaitement la liaison entre ces deux régions. Et donc, c'est ça le résultat. Pour maintenant, les critères qui ont été adoptés pour recueillir l'acceptation des pays concernés, nous avons travaillé avec les communautés économiques régionales qui représentent pour nous les intérêts des pays et qui devraient bien sûr engager une discussion avec les pays concernés, sachant que nous connaissons aussi, nous avons une connaissance parfaite des détails, des problèmes que un projet ou un autre peut poser et nous demeurons bien sûr très ouverts pour en discuter, pour engager une discussion spécifique sur un projet spécifique aussi pour l'adresser dans un cadre un peu particulier avec une région, bien sûr avec le concours de l'Union africaine en tant que leader de ce processus. J'espère que je vous ai répondu. Je sais que j'étais très diplomate, mais situation oblige, vous me comprenez bien.
Oui, je vous remercie, monsieur. J'avais juste encore une question. Lors de la soumission de ces projets à la validation des ministres, est-ce que ces questions seront discutées?
Bien sûr, nous ne pouvons pas priver des ministres de considérer des questions parce que c'est leur droit le plus absolu. Mais sur le plan technique, nous réglons les problèmes avant d'arriver au ministre pour asseoir un consensus sur le plan technique autour de ces projets, sachant que bien sûr les ministres sont autonomes et certainement dans le cadre de leur discussion, ils pourront amender bien sûr la liste conformément à leur discussion certainement.
Je pose cette question notamment parce que, comme vous le savez, même si nous approuvons un projet sur le plan technique, les problématiques politiques affectent toujours la mise en œuvre des projets. Donc, pour nous, il est important qu'il y ait un consensus pour ne pas entraver la mise en œuvre d'un quelque projet et que les projets soient acceptés par toutes les parties concernées. Voilà, donc je voudrais savoir... D'ici décembre, comment un consensus pourrait être recueilli?
Je suis entièrement d'accord avec vous. Nous restons, comme j'ai dit, nous demeurons très ouverts par rapport à telle ou telle région pour un réglage ultime sur telle ou telle liste, sachant que nous validons aussi techniquement aujourd'hui ce processus et ces listes sur le plan technique, tout en permettant à nos ministres d'avoir la tâche la plus facile sans autant les mettre dans des conditions difficiles pour engager des débats qui peuvent ne pas aboutir sur telle ou telle région.
Donc, nous pouvons vous contacter, par exemple, pour soulever telle ou telle question qui sera prise en charge par la task force. C'est bien ça, c'est ce que je comprends.
Le travail de la task force aujourd'hui sur le plan technique, il est validé, mais comme je vous ai dit, le processus maintenant est engagé au niveau ministériel et bien sûr, la Commission de l'Union africaine demeure très ouverte pour recueillir tous vos sentiments et pour le proposer au ministère.
Donc, les remarques se font sur le plan, dans le cadre de la préparation de la réunion ministérielle.
Exactement, qui va être précédée par une réunion d'experts, bien sûr.
D'accord, très bien, merci.
Merci bien. Maye Diab, please. You have the floor, Maye Diab. Maye Diab, can you
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm asking about a multi-regional AUC project, which is in the context of SAATM, the Continental Seamless Airspace in Africa. Is this the project that we Egypt submitted for the for you?
Yes. Thank you very much. In fact, the project that you submitted for us could be considered as a part of the implementation of SATM. SATM is a flagship project of Agenda 2063 as a SATM, as a single African air transport market. But the implementation can be addressed within the PIDA-PAP2 process. This is what we are aiming to do, including the seamless aspect. And your project is really helpful, and it will be part of this seamless implementation of SATM.
How can we know the next step to do regarding this project, please?
It is exactly the same as all projects. Once the list is adopted, now we will move the list to Audanepad. Audanepad will be in charge for the implementation starting from the beginning of next year of 2021. So, and of course, we are submitting not only a list of projects, we are submitting implementation strategy prepared by Audanepad, financing strategy prepared by ADB. So there is a full file that will be adopted by heads of state and hand over to Audanepad for implementation, and of course with the assistance of ADB as a main financial arm of the African Union.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mamadou Alassane Camara, please.
Oui, président, merci beaucoup. Je vous salue, mon frère Chebeda.
Merci bien.
Merci. Bonjour à l'ensemble des participants. En fait, moi, ce n'est pas une question, c'est juste pour vous remercier et vous féliciter pour ce travail important qui a été fait pour notre continent, qui est parti quand même d'un nombre de projets importants avec un certain nombre de critères qui nous ont finalement aidé à faire ces choix assez difficiles mais extrêmement importants. Le processus a été tout au long participatif. Je pense que nous avons, depuis l'élaboration des programmes, depuis le choix des critères, participé à l'ensemble du processus. Et nous vous remercions pour cela. Je voudrais juste rajouter qu'au niveau de la région ouest africaine, des échanges ont été faits tout dernièrement pour affiner justement la liste de projets, notamment au niveau des infrastructures, Il y avait juste un dernier projet pour lequel nous avions voulu que Mounke soit intégré parce qu'il faisait partie du PIDA PAP. Je voudrais peut-être être édifié sur cette question. C'est le projet du corridor Dakar-Bamako pour lequel il y avait quand même une composante qui permettait de remettre une partie du port de Dakar à niveau. S'il y a un représentant de la CEDEAO, il pourrait peut-être nous apporter un éclairage à ce niveau. Saluer aussi la Banque africaine de développement qui nous a accompagnés tout au long de ce processus et leur remercier de leur engagement aux côtés des pays africains, du continent africain, pour relever le défi du développement. On n'a pas le choix. Je pense que si on veut effectivement sortir de l'ornière, tous ces projets, que ce soit les projets de transport, les projets d'énergie, les projets liés à l'eau, aux techniques, aux TIC du moins, je pense qu'on a intérêt à les mettre en œuvre et rapidement. Je pense qu'il y a eu un niveau d'exécution plus ou moins satisfaisant du PIDA PAP 1. On devrait faire en sorte que ce PIDA PAP 2 puisse donner encore beaucoup plus de satisfaction pour le bénéfice des populations africaines, pour favoriser justement l'intégration régionale. Enfin, je voudrais dire que vous savez comment se passe dans nos pays, les gouvernements changent. Le Sénégal a récemment changé de ministre des infrastructures. Je pense qu'il serait utile pour nous d'avoir ce compte-rendu qui nous permettra justement de le sensibiliser sur tout ce qui a été franchi comme étape, mais aussi sur les prochaines échéances, notamment la réunion des ministres pour la validation de ce programme important. Voilà ce que je voulais dire en contribution. Et vous saluer encore, féliciter pour ce travail important qui a été fait. Merci beaucoup.
Merci mon frère Amadou. Je vous remercie infiniment, mon frère Mamadou, pour cette brillante allocution et votre engagement à nous soutenir, à soutenir l'Union africaine. Vous étiez toujours depuis Addis, vous avez été toujours d'un apport très important pour cette concertation qui a duré quelques mois. Le Sénégal a été toujours très actif dans le cadre de cette concertation. On vous remercie véritablement et on remercie bien sûr à travers vous, bien sûr, toute la région de l'Afrique de l'Ouest pour cet engagement pour le PIDA. Et bien sûr, comme vous avez demandé, on pourrait donner la parole bien sûr aux représentants de l'Afrique de l'Ouest, M. Chris Appiah, you can maybe take the floor later on to address the issue raised by my brother Mamadou Alassane Camara, or exactly to address the specific point with regard to the project of specifically the corridor between Dakar and Bamako later on, please. Thank you very much. Lizotto, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to make my remarks on the presentations made. We have noted the process that has been followed in identifying the project. And we have just had the presentation by Krishna on the list of projects that make the priority list. We will just be grateful if the priority list could be shared with us so that would facilitate our briefing to our principals, leading to the meetings ahead. And that would be all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lizotto. Of course, the documents present, including the presentation, will be shared with all participants. I'm told that it was already uploaded in the site, the website, but we will ensure that also they are sent by email to all participants for this meeting. Thank you very much. Celestino Correa.
Yes,
Oui, bonjour, monsieur le président. Merci pour me permettre de prendre la parole. Je voudrais seulement rappeler que pendant la réunion d'Abuja, prévue 2020, il est établi que chaque pays insulaire doit présenter un projet. Bon, Guinée-Bissau, c'est essentiellement un pays insulaire parce qu'on a dizaines d'îles, presque 80 îles. Donc, les populations qui sont là sont presque totalement isolées. Le projet qu'on a présenté, ça permettra de promouvoir le désenclavement de ces îles en premier temps son intégration dans l'espace sous-régional. Bon, on n'a pas vu dans la présentation les conditions qu'ils ont données à chaque pays insulaire de présenter au moins un projet. C'est ça ma préoccupation.
Merci, monsieur Celestino. Merci.
Ok, merci.
Merci bien. Certainement, Krishna va revenir sur votre question ultérieurement, mais il faut qu'aussi on accepte que la définition des pays insulaires est très connue. Hein. Très connue. Ce n'est pas parce qu'un pays a un certain nombre d'îles qui sont, ce sont des îles, que nécessairement le pays globalement est insulaire. Donc, je pense qu'il faut peut-être revenir sur ça. Mais néanmoins, je donnerai bien sûr après la parole à Krishna pour spécifiquement adresser cette question. Ok, Ibrahim Magadji, Nigeria, please. Ibrahim, you have the floor.
Ok, thank you, Nita. I wish everybody well. Mine is just a quick one. While Krishna was presenting on the projects concerning the Lake Chad projects, he spoke in French. Unfortunately, I missed that. I would like him to quickly have maybe say it in English. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ibrahim. Of course, Mr. Krishna, later on when you will address a question raised by our brother from Guinea-Bissau, please also address this issue and give the full and comprehensive indication to our brother from Nigeria about the lectured project, please. Mhani from Morocco. Mhani.
Oui, bonjour.
Vous avez la parole?
J'espère que vous m'entendez maintenant.
Si, on vous entend bien. Allez-y.
Voilà, tout d'abord, je vous remercie pour le travail, tout le travail qui a été fait pour aboutir à ce résultat pour lequel je voudrais exprimer tout mon contentement. Donc, tout d'abord, je me présente à tout le monde. Je suis chef du département de la coopération internationale au ministère de l'Équipement, du Transport, de la Logistique et de l'Eau du Royaume du Maroc. Donc, comme j'ai dit, j'exprime tout mon contentement après avoir vu qu'il y a des projets qui ont très très importants qui ont été retenus dans la région nord africaine. Donc c'est des projets qui s'inscrivent parfaitement dans le souci d'intégration régionale de nos pays d'Afrique du Nord. Donc voilà, moi j'ai une question à poser. C'est que vous avez déjà dit que nous allons tous être informés par email de cette longue liste qui est des projets qui sont retenus. Mais je voudrais savoir aussi, est-ce que nos gouvernements seront officiellement aussi informés ou bien c'est à nous, en tant que point focal auprès du PIDA, de faire ce travail, c'est-à-dire d'informer notre hiérarchie. Voilà, la deuxième question, c'est quelle est la suite qui sera donnée à cette à ce résultat-là qu'on vient d'atteindre, à cette liste de projets, c'est-à-dire qu'est-ce qui sera fait disons, incessamment dans ce cadre afin de pouvoir réaliser ces projets-là. Merci.
Merci, Master Mani. Donc, merci, Madame la Directrice. Pour votre première question, bien sûr, les États vont être informés de manière officielle à travers des notes verbales, à travers des lettres envoyées directement au ministre sectoriel, et puis transmettant toutes les informations, l'ensemble des documents nécessaires pour ce PIDA avant d'aller au niveau des CTS pour que les États arrivent à se préparer correctement. Pour votre deuxième question, la suite à donner, c'est que, donc, une fois cette liste de projets avec les documents qui sont la stratégie de financement, la stratégie de mise en œuvre, mais aussi la stratégie sur le partenariat, vont être adoptés par les CTS. Donc, le comité technique spécialisé au niveau ministériel, c'est 14 décembre. Donc, une fois c'est adopté par les CTS, donc, ces documents vont être maintenant soumis au processus du sommet. Et le sommet, bien sûr, présume d'avoir une discussion au niveau du comité des représentants permanents à 10 et après au niveau des ministres des Affaires étrangères, au niveau du conseil exécutif de l'Union africaine, avant d'être soumis au chef d'État pendant leur sommet de fin janvier, début février 2021. Voici le processus. Et bien sûr, immédiatement après, ils vont être envoyés ils vont être transmis au niveau de AUDANEPAD, qui est l'agence de mise en œuvre de l'Union africaine, pour commencer déjà à engager les procédures de mise en œuvre de ce projet. Voilà. Globalement, c'est ça le processus. Je vois que j'ai encore...
Merci, Monsieur Directeur. Merci.
Merci bien. Donc, je vois que j'ai encore Chetibi, you have the floor, et j'ai aussi Ibrahim Manian. Donc, Chetibi. Allez-y, Monsieur Chetibi. Monsieur Chetibi, votre micro est fermé. Can you unmute your mic, Mr. Chetibi? Can you unmute your mic, Mr. Chetibi? Unmute your mic. Okay. While waiting for you to unmute your mic, Ibrahim Anyan, you have the floor. Ibrahim Anyan, Senegal. Allez-y.
Oui. Merci beaucoup. Moi, c'est Ibrahim Anyan, directeur de l'électricité au niveau du ministère du pétrole et des énergies du Sénégal. Donc, je voudrais tout d'abord féliciter toute l'équipe donc, qui a eu à travailler sur cet important programme pour développer les infrastructures énergétiques en Afrique, notamment les infrastructures énergétiques. Et je pense que c'est un travail qui a été fait de façon inclusive et c'est à féliciter. Moi, mon intervention, c'est par rapport au projet de centrale solaire à installer au Mali dans le cadre du West African Power Pool. Comme vous le savez, pour ces genres de projets, quand même, il faut dire qu'il y a un certain nombre de réalisations qui ont été faites au niveau de certains pays. Et actuellement, pour le solaire, l'enjeu, il y a deux enjeux majeurs, c'est la baisse des coûts de production. À cet effet, il y a une tendance baissière, parce qu'actuellement, les coûts de production qu'on a du solaire, vraiment, c'est des coûts avantageux, intéressants. Mais l'autre enjeu, c'est l'intermittence. C'est-à-dire que, comme vous le savez, ces centrales solaires-là, c'est des centrales, pour l'instant, pour la majorité, c'est des centrales où il n'y a pas encore de stockage d'énergie. Et comme vous le savez, dans nos pays, on a une pointe, une demande qui est entre 19h et 23h. Donc, à ce niveau-là, donc c'est là où la demande vraiment est importante. Et c'est là où on a besoin peut-être de centrales qui fonctionnent et qui puissent fonctionner avec peut-être des coûts abordables. Donc, c'est pourquoi je pense que la problématique du stockage est à adresser pour cette centrale-là. Parce que tel que c'est conçu, bon, ça risque d'être au fil du soleil. Nos pays, c'est des pays en voie de développement, donc l'industrie n'est pas très, très développée. Donc, la demande, on l'a pratiquement là. Donc, il est important que cette problématique de stockage-là puisse être approfondie et que ça soit une composante essentielle donc pour ce projet de centrale solaire là pour permettre effectivement d'adresser donc les besoins donc de pointe concernant donc la tranche horaire de 19h à 23h comme ce sera installé au Mali. Déjà, nous, on est interconnecté au Mali, le Sénégal est interconnecté au Mali dans le cadre de l'OMBS, l'Organisation pour la mise en valeur du fleuve Sénégal. Et c'est un projet qui pourrait nous intéresser, mais à condition que l'aspect stockage donc, puisse être pris en charge. Merci beaucoup.
Merci, Monsieur Ibrahima. Merci, Monsieur Ibrahima, pour cette intervention et vos remerciements pour toute l'équipe. Je vous remercie de mon côté pour votre engagement au niveau du PIDA 2. Vous avez été toujours d'un apport très crucial pour ce processus. Je partage avec vous entièrement cette analyse par rapport à l'importance et l'utilité de mettre en place le stockage comme priorité dans le cadre des énergies, de l'énergie solaire et surtout au niveau des centrales. Et je pense qu'un amendement à la nomenclature de ce projet pourrait bien sûr améliorer et pourrait bien sûr prendre en charge votre préoccupation, tout en restant bien sûr sous le contrôle, parler sous le contrôle de ECOWAS, qui bien sûr aura le dernier mot parce que c'est un projet ECOWAS qui a été soumis par ECOWAS et je pense qu'il est aussi qui fait partie aussi des projets WAP qui ont été soumis. Donc, mais je suis entièrement d'accord avec vous sur l'approche et sur l'analyse. Je vous remercie infiniment. Can we hear Monsieur Chetbi? Est-ce que vous pouvez parler? Il faut juste désactiver votre micro, c'est-à-dire faut l'ouvrir. Unmute your mic, please, Mr. Chetbi. Voilà. OK, allez-y. Finalement.
C'est bon?
Ah, voilà, finalement. OK, allez-y.
D'accord. Bonjour tout le monde. D'abord, je tiens à remercier, à féliciter l'équipe qui a fait ce travail parce que quand même, c'est assez consistant comme travail. Donc, je les félicite. Mais moi, j'ai une remarque. Donc, nous avons proposé certains projets. Donc, entre autres, la modernisation de la route nationale numéro 1, qui est connue sous le nom de la transsaharienne. Et donc, ma surprise est d'autant plus grande que j'ai constaté que la fibre optique qui relie justement le nord de l'Algérie à Lagos, donc au Nigeria, existe dans le programme. Donc, c'est deux projets qui sont pratiquement indissociables, donc qui marchent ensemble. Donc, je ne sais pas pourquoi ils ont éliminé ce projet. Nous considérons que c'est un corridor donc transsaharien par excellence. Et vous savez, donc, les pays africains, notamment les pays du Sahel, donc, sont un tout petit peu enclavés vis-à-vis d'une ouverture vers la mer. Donc, c'est pour ça qu'on s'est dit que ce corridor peut leur offrir justement une opportunité d'aller vers la mer. D'ailleurs, c'est pour ça que l'Algérie a donné une importance primordiale à ce projet. Nous sommes en train de la dédoubler sur 853 km, donc elle est pratiquement dédoublée sur 550. Il reste 200 et quelques kilomètres qui sont en étude. Le reste entre Ghardaïa et disons à la limite, donc aux frontières donc du Niger et du Mali, on a inscrit ce projet pour justement la moderniser, pour rendre un tout petit peu cohérent et le couloir un tout petit peu homogène, parce que ça serait dommage de venir avec une autoroute jusqu'à Ghardaïa puis ensuite emprunter une route qui présente donc une qualité de service moindre. Donc ça, c'est, je me réjouis aussi de voir que nos amis tunisiens et marocains donc, ont proposé la jonction avec l'autoroute est-ouest, donc qui est un corridor est-ouest important. Donc, nos amis tunisiens et nos amis marocains nous ont proposé ces deux projets que nous soutenons aussi, que nous approuvons. Donc, j'aimerais bien savoir, simplement pour le problème de la RN1, c'est tout. Et je vous propose, si c'est possible, de faire une liste additive éventuellement, donc dans le cas où un des projets ne bénéficie pas d'une approbation pour une raison ou pour une autre, on peut puiser sur cette liste additive. Et merci.
Merci, M. Chetbi. Je vous remercie moi aussi de soutien de l'Algérie à ce processus de PIDA 2. Donc, l'Algérie a beaucoup contribué, comme l'ensemble des pays de l'Union africaine, dans le cadre de ce processus. Je vous remercie infiniment pour ça. J'épouse entièrement votre idée de continuer à avoir cette vision de corridor dans le cadre de la transsaharienne, parce qu'il s'agit de corridors, il est un peu, ils sont indissociables de mettre en place une fibre optique. Même la fibre optique, pour la mettre en place, il faut avoir l'accès. Donc, je suis entièrement d'accord avec vous que c'est ça la logique et c'est ça la philosophie même du PIDA 2, d'avoir des corridors où on a des routes avec des lignes d'interconnexion électrique, avec des lignes fibre optique qui passent en même temps pour faciliter et diminuer les comptes d'exploitation de ces installations demain. Je pense que c'est ça la philosophie. Mais en tant que task force, on est resté un peu sous la coupe des communautés économiques régionales qui ont soumis des priorités. Mais je vous invite à engager une discussion supplémentaire peut-être avec Yuma au niveau du secrétariat Yuma pour exactement revoir cette question et tout simplement, au lieu de mettre ça comme la fibre optique, de mettre le corridor trans, y compris la fibre optique. Je pense que ça ne doit pas poser de problème à ce niveau, surtout que l'impact économique est très, très important par rapport à cette transsaharienne qui, bien sûr, permettra l'accès et bien sûr pour avoir un désenclavement des pays qui sont enclavés malheureusement tels que le Tchad, le Niger et autres. Donc voilà, et
merci.
Je vous remercie infiniment et donc je vous demande de bien sûr d'engager cette discussion avec le secrétaire et moi et c'est exactement par rapport à ça que j'ai fait référence, que nous demeurons ouverts devant tout petit réglage que vous allez opérer au niveau de la région, bien sûr. Voilà. Monsieur Arnold Masaki. Merci. Arnold Masaki, you have the floor.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, please.
Okay, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yes. Please.
Yes, I'm speaking from Tandros offices in Dar es Salaam. We are responsible for management, rather development and management of national roads in Tanzania. So my question is, what are the chances of a conventional road project to be selected? When I speak of conventional road projects, I'm speaking of road projects which are non-PPP, you know, public-private partnership. What we submitted to you,
Mr. Arnold, we cannot hear you. You muted your mic, Arnold. Can you unmute your mic, please? Can you mute your mic, please? Please go ahead, Mr. Arnold. Sir Arnold?
Sorry for that. So, did you understand me?
I think so. I think so. But you can you repeat again? So you are asking about the chance really to select a project which is not PPP.
Exactly, the conventional road projects, the okay. Non-PPP.
Okay, thank you very much. It was not a condition really to select the PPP projects in the process. So, but yeah. The proposed projects and the selection of priority are given to the regional economic communities. And once they are submitted by RECs, whatever the format of financing of these projects, PPP or conventional, they are screened against a very clear criteria that were adopted by the specialized technical committee at the ministerial level. So there is no optional preference between PP or conventional with regard to the process itself.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Share the projects with us. Share the list of projects with us so that we can see whether our projects are there.
Of course. Thank you very much, Mr. Arnold. So this bring us to the end of comments. Mr. Arnold, can you mute your mic? Can you mute your mic now?
Right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Krishna, can you address very quickly, within 2 minutes, the question raised by colleagues?
Krishna, yes. Yes, Director. Thank you. No, I think there was a question from Guinea-Bissau about their status as the SIDS, Small Island Developing States. This was discussed at the level of the task force and ECOWAS. And although Cape Verde is a SIDS, officially the task force members discussed, and Guinea-Bissau was classified under continental ECOWAS member instead of SIDS. So that's the reason why. So probably I would invite Mr. Celestino to talk to ECOWAS to clarify this, the project he mentioned, and whether that project was finally submitted, because in the case of ECOWAS, all projects were submitted through ECOWAS. So please talk to Mr. Chris Apia and to have clarity on this. And then concerning Lake Chad, very quickly, actually we had four projects from Lake Chad. There was the Lake Chad itself, the rehabilitation of Lake Chad, which was retained as one project. And the other three projects was one concerns the feasibility study of Bria Dam, the detailed feasibility study of the dam. The second is the how to improve the fluidicity of River Shari so that it can, there are less losses of water. And the third one is the transfer corridor from the dam through the river to the lake. So these three, since they are so interconnected, were merged into a single project, and we have written to the Lake Chad Basin Commission. They will reformulate the details of the project, the status and the costing, so that this merging of three projects is reflected into the one project. Thank you. Over to you, Director. Unless there were other questions, I think there was a question on PPP. I think Mchira can address that. Probably I would suggest Mchira is the PPP specialist from the bank in infrastructure. Maybe he could add some clarity.
Of course. Mr. Chirwa, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Chair. Krishna, I thought that question was actually addressed by the director, Beda. This is a question that was asked from Tanzania, correct? Unless there's another one I missed.
It's the Tanzania question.
This is exactly the one.
So it was addressed, I think. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Chris Apia, can you address the question raised by Mr. Kamara from Senegal? Chris Apia. Do we have Mr. Chris Apia here? Okay, in this case, I would like to recommend to my brother Kamara really to liaise with Chris Apia really to understand why this project was not presented as a priority of ECOWAS, please. Okay, I think this brings us to the end of these comments. And over to you, Krishna, to lead us through the remaining item of the agenda, please.
Thank you, Director. Let me share.
I think Chris is back online. Huh?
Chris, can you hear me, Chris? Mr. Chris? Chris, can you hear me? Not yet, huh? Okay, please, Krishna, go ahead.
Yes, Director. So as you can see, I've projected the agenda. So we've gone through the we've gone through the process. We've gone through the question and answer on the process. We've seen the list, the questions on the list, and now the next item is the validation, actually, of the process and the list, and then the remarks.
No, the validation is it was validated because we listened to all our members here, and they were really satisfied with the process, and they raised some point, and we did respond to all their questions, and issues are very clear, and we are considering that as a validation, go ahead.
Okay.
So now I'm proposing to go to the
to the next item agenda, which is closing ceremony. Yes. Maybe Director Omaro. Director Omaro, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Beda, Director of Infrastructure at AUC. For my concluding remark, I just wanted to commend the progress that has been made. I think, despite all the challenges posed by the pandemic, it's really, very commendable that the team was able to make the progress that they have made. So I really wanted to thank the team conducted this exercise, but also the regional economic communities and all the representative of countries that participated in this exercise. As now we move forward to finalizing the whole process, I think it's important that we remember that we still have the outstanding documents, including the partnership strategy to be prepared by UNECA, the implementation strategy to be prepared by AUDA NEPRAD, and the financing strategy that the African Development Bank is preparing. So, we at the bank, we are making significant progress in finalizing that document. And I hope that this document will be presented at the next meeting early December, if I recall correctly, so that we have the whole package ready. So that's one point I wanted to make. The second point, it's really in terms of presenting the final document. These are documents that are going to be presented to heads of state. So I think the packaging is extremely important, the way we package the final documentation so that it's really becomes very presentable for consumption by heads of state. So with that, I just wanted to reiterate the commitment of the bank to continue to support this process, and we look forward to working with you to deliver the final product. And again, thank you to everyone and to all the team for their work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my dear brother Omaro, for this remarks and for your full support and dedication to this process. And of course, we are looking forward to have and to discuss the financing strategy, which is a main component of the entire file and package. So, and as you rightly pointed out, the packaging itself will be also a very important task really to carry out before submitting to heads of state. Thank you very much. So closing remark also by AUDA NEPRAD. Do we have Amin or we still have Dr. Toila?
Good afternoon, Director. I will speak on behalf of Director Amin.
Please go ahead, my dear sister.
Thank you very much. So on behalf of Director Amin, the AUDA NEPRAD would really like to express its gratitude to the various officials from the RECs, from our member states and from other institutions who took the time to participate in this technical review of the PDEPAP2 process as well as the project list. We have noted with pleasure the fruitful and constructive discussions that have led to us being able to come to a consensus on the process as well as the list of projects. And I think that going forward, there are a number of things that will be attended to as discussed. And from our side, we will work towards finalization of the PDEPAP2 implementation strategy, which will align with the partnership strategy being developed by UNECA and the financing strategy being developed by the African Development Bank. So with those few remarks, just to thank again the participants, and then to also thank you, Director Beda, for leading us through this engagement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my dear sister, Dr. Tuwaila, for your personal also engagement and commitment to this exercise. Really, you've been a very strong support to the entire process, starting from the beginning. Thank you. Thank you. And I really I am asking you to convene also our gratitude to Dr. Mayaki and Director Amin, really, for the support from AUDA NEPAD, and looking forward, of course, to discuss the final document of implementation strategy with all our stakeholders in coming days and coming weeks. So before submitting to the STC and for final validation. Thank you very much. Now I'm giving the floor to my brother William, Director of Private Sector Development and Finance Division of UNECA, to address the meeting, please. Close for closing remark, please. Mr. William? Maybe Robert Omonga, if William is not available. It seems we don't have William. William, Mr. William. Robert Lizinge. Mr. Omonga.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Please go ahead.
I thought that Mr. William is here. I was not prepared for this. But anyway, we have taken note of the comments, you know, and the constructive engagement, as we expected, you know, the RECs would do. And also the fact that we've been with them throughout the whole process, you know, from the project selection, the training, and the application of the objective sort of criteria, you know, we've done sort of this consultation. I think, you know, the outcome of this meeting shows, you know, that there has been sort of the cooperation from the beginning. As ECA, as the director has mentioned earlier in his opening remarks, we've become committed and we've completed the strategy partnership document, and now it's I think it's being edited and translated, you know, and we'll actually we'll avail ourselves in any other sort of technical assignment, you know, that the, you know, that the PIDA implementation requires. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, UNECA, for your valuable support to this process. You are a secretariat, and this really gives us the full assurance of professionalism of the process itself, and also that UN is engaged with the African Union with regard to the PIDA in general, but also with regard to the implementation aspect of the PIDA itself. So thank you very much for that. And of course, your role is continuing until we submit to the heads of state, specifically you as a secretariat of the entire process. Thank you very much, UNECA. Now we are moving to my closing remark. I'm switching to French. Merci, messieurs les représentants des États membres et les représentants des communautés économiques régionales, mon cher frère Omarou, mon cher frère William, ma très chère sœur Tuela, all protocol observed, comme on dit, et je voudrais sincèrement me féliciter de notre réunion d'aujourd'hui, me féliciter des résultats que nous avons obtenus, le consensus que nous avons tous vit autour de ce processus qui a été un processus très fastidieux, très long en termes de temps, mais aussi pendant une période assez difficile qui est la période de COVID-19. Mais nous devrons aussi tous féliciter l'équipe technique qui a travaillé pendant cette période très difficile, Mike, Manga, tous les experts sectoriels, bien sûr Krishna comme coordinateur de notre côté, toute l'équipe qui a travaillé de manière très étroite avec les experts des communautés économiques, qui sont à féliciter sincèrement pour leur dévouement pour leur région, mais aussi pour leur professionnalisme et leur dévouement pour tout le continent. Je pense que nous avons observé pendant cette période un très grand engagement pour ce continent, un très grand engagement pour bouger les lignes en termes d'infrastructures comme préalable pour la mise en œuvre de notre grand agenda 2063 et spécifiquement pour la mise en œuvre de la zone franche qui va constituer le moteur de la relance économique au niveau du continent. Donc, ceci dit, c'est vrai que le processus a été long, mais il faut saluer la transparence du processus qui a été saluée par tout le monde ici et d'en prendre note. Et dire combien on était heureux quand on a vu que le processus technique mathématique pour le classement des projets avec une matrice très compliquée, une matrice de différents paramètres et par rapport auquel il fallait mettre en place beaucoup d'assistance technique de nos partenaires, qu'on a vu que le résultat de ce travail mathématique a été accepté par les communautés économiques régionales et qui adhèrent parfaitement avec leurs priorités. Je pense que c'est une question, c'est quelque chose à féliciter et féliciter aussi notre capacité tous à commencer par les États membres, les communautés économiques régionales, pour faire un travail d'acteur, un travail transparent et qui ne suscite pas beaucoup de discussions et qui ne nécessite pas beaucoup d'argumentaires parce qu'il est clair, il est clair et il est net et tout le monde adhère à ce travail, donc on s'en félicite tous. Je voudrais terminer avec une félicitation très particulière et très forte à l'adresse de nos partenaires. Et ici, je vais citer spécifiquement GIZ, donc la coopération allemande à travers GIZ, mais aussi l'Union européenne pour tous les supports qu'ils ont mis à nos côtés pour nous assister dans le cadre de ce processus, à travers la mobilisation de beaucoup de firmes qui ont travaillé avec nous pour dans le cadre de cette préparation qui a été une préparation en passant par une étude, très grosse étude sur les besoins en Afrique des infrastructures, bien sûr la mid-term review de PIDA 1 qui nous a permis de tirer les enseignements nécessaires, mais aussi toutes les études sur les critères de sélection, comment les identifier, quels sont qu'est-ce qui se fait au niveau mondial au jour d'aujourd'hui pour identifier ces critères, pour les numériser, pour les valoriser. Je pense que c'était un travail technique très très solide et donc nous avons bénéficié de l'assistance de l'Union européenne et de la GIZ pour nous assister dans ce cadre. Et bien sûr, tous nos remerciements à notre équipe technique qui a été piloté par la BAD et dont le secrétariat est aussi revenu à UNECA, bien sûr, avec toute l'expertise sectorielle que nous avons dans le cadre de nos institutions, mais surtout au niveau des pays et au niveau des communautés économiques régionales. Donc, ceci dit, je déclare cette réunion close et puis nous allons vous envoyer toutes les présentations. Ils sont déjà sur le site, mais on va vous les envoyer. Et bien sûr, un envoi officiel aux États membres pour engager maintenant la procédure formelle d'adoption avec les experts le 12 novembre et avec le 12 décembre et avec les ministres le 14 décembre pour finalement finaliser tout ce travail et le présenter à nos chefs d'État. Je vous remercie infiniment pour le temps que vous avez alloué à cette réunion et restez assurés de la disponibilité de l'Union africaine, de la BAD, de UNECA, de AUDANEPAD pour vous accompagner dans le cadre de ce processus et accompagner ultérieurement pour bien sûr mettre en œuvre tous ces projets. Je vous en remercie et très bonne soirée.
Merci.
Merci, monsieur le directeur.
Merci beaucoup. Merci.
Merci, au revoir.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, everybody, and goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ok, Krishna, merci beaucoup. Okay,
merci, merci, monsieur.
Merci. À la prochaine.
Thank you, Krishna. Bye.
Merci
beaucoup.
Bye.
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 Merci.
Bye.
Krishna.
Yes, Mr. Dr. Kamu. Yeah.
Yes, sir. A quick one here. There was that project here, which I think was mistakenly indicated that it's an EAC project, but in fact, it's an EGAT project.
I think we corrected that one. It was corrected on the website. Can you remind me which one?
Hold on a second. The Transborder Submarine Fiber POPs and Regional Smart Hub Facility and Data Center.
Okay, I'll check again and I'll correct it as an EGAT project.
Yeah, it's an EGAT project. I just confirmed it through the PDAPAP 2 dashboard.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Thanks a lot. And we greatly appreciate the work and effort we have put into this process.
Thank you to you also, Dr. Kamu, for your assistance and help. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we'll chat offline. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.